Blog Talk Radio.
Lifting your voice and declaring this new day, for I'll call
cause you to go forth into a new way. You'll leave this place in a new way, a new strength and a new direction. For I'll restore years, and I'll restore health, and I'll restore joy. For this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase, and they shall multiply. For times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say it's not so far away, but it's here right now, today. Ha, ha, ha. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Praise you, mighty Lord, mighty, mighty, mighty God, mighty Jesus, mighty Yeshua, mighty Jehoshua. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Yeshua. Praise you, Jehoshua. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. What an awesome, awesome God we serve. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. We serve such a wonderful God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. How can we, praise the Lord, complain when God has been so good to us? He's been so merciful to us. Hallelujah. What can any of us say, my brother, my sister, when the Lord has been so good? He's been such an awesome, awesome, awesome God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, shalom, shalom, my brother, my sister. Welcome to the Lord's Hour. This is your whole brother in Christ, Brother L.V. Zapata. Thank you, Lord. We are so grateful for his love, for his mercy that endureth forever. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. He loves us so much, and this is the reason why, my brother and my sister, hallelujah, we can enjoy his presence, my brother and my sister, because of his great love, his great mercy, hallelujah, that he has for each, hallelujah, for each and one of us, his love and mercy that endureth forever. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So welcome to our Tuesday 9 Bible study. Thank you, Lord. I hope, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You come ready to learn the word of the Lord. Amen. Let me go ahead and go into the Bible, the word of God. Thank you, Jesus. And begin. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Yeshua. Praise you, Jehoshua. Praise you, mighty Lord. Hallelujah. He is such an awesome God, such a great God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Praise you, mighty Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let me go ahead and, hallelujah, open my Bible study here. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And Ephesians 2:19. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians 2:19, if you want to go in. Hallelujah. Wear your Bible. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I know that. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. We've been in the book of Revelation, and we will be going back and forward again. It's the way we do our Bible study. Thank you, Lord. We just, hallelujah, a learning of him who is humble and meek of heart. My brothers and sisters, and there's so much in the Bible to learn, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Excuse me. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Thank you. Hallelujah, mighty Lord. Revelation 9, we're going to go after. Hallelujah. But I want to remind you, or for us to remind each other, hallelujah, Ephesians 2, 9, and this is why you are no longer foreigner and outsider, but citizen together with God, people, a member of God's family. Amen. We are members of God's family, my brother, my sister. So remember that, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We are members of God's family. We belong to the larger, greater family, my brother and sister, anybody ever had in his God's family. Hallelujah. We're not considered anymore earthly, but now we are considered heavenly, my brother and my sister. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We are heavenly. We are considered heavenly from the family of heaven. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Revelation 9 says, and when the fifth angel blew his trumpet, I saw a star that has fallen to earth from the sky. Keep in mind, my brother and sister, hallelujah, that we are waiting for the last trumpet, okay? We're waiting for the last trumpet, and it's the trumpet of gathering, okay? This is the trumpet that we perceive, my brother and sister, okay? But the fifth trumpet, my brother and sister, hallelujah, is the trumpet, is what they call the alerting trumpet, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. This is when the enemy, thank you, Lord, fifth trumpet, okay? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let me get the reference of this. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, from the Bible. Praise you, Lord. There were several trumpet sound back in the time of Moses, my brother and sister, in Exodus. And I want to go ahead and look for that reference. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yeshua. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. God says in Numbers to his people through Moses, hallelujah, which I'm going to go ahead and let me go ahead and thank you, Yeshua. Numbers 10. Numbers 10 for those that are following us. Remember, we're doing a Bible study, so we'll be going back and forward. But our confirmation comes from the word of God, my brother, my sister. Amen. And we're looking into the trumpet so we can understand why these judgments are coming. Because remember, what does it say in Revelation 9? And when the fifth angel blew his trumpet, okay, the fifth angel blew his trumpet, a star that had fallen to the earth from the sky, and the star was given the key to the chaff of the bodily pit, my brother and sister. Notice that this falling star, we call it, we may see a meteor, but it's also equivalent to a fallen angel, okay? It's equivalent to a fallen angel. We may see a meteor, but there is a consequence to follow, my brother and my sister. Thank you, Lord. Again, it's falling. A star, a piece of a star is a meteor. That's how NASA has put it out in their study, and scientists and so much, my brother and sister. And so when they see a star. But God says in his word, in the revelation of John, that this star is a fallen angel to us, the church. My brothers, these mysteries are revealed to us. Remember that Jesus spoke to the people in parable, but to his disciple, he spoke to them openly. Okay, this is important. This is very important. We understand what God is saying to us, my brother and sister. So Numbers 10 says, and the Lord says to Moses, make two trumpet out of the hammer and silver. Okay? And we heard about the shofar. We heard about the shofar for years, right? The God that the Jewish people were out of the horn will make a shofar. Okay? This is why in the Bible you find shofar and you find trumpet. Because a horn for an animal, my brother and sister, is not the same as a trumpet. Trumpet were made in Egypt. And so when God speaks to Moses here in number 10, he tells him to make a trumpet. Okay? And I know that there will be Jewish people that may listen to this message and say, or this teaching and say, my brother and sister, but it was in the original, it will say shofar. But look how it's being made. This is not a horn from an animal that was used as a shofar was made, my brother and sister. Or there were other that were shaped similar. But look to it. Okay? So God says to Moses, the Lord says to Moses, make your trumpet out of the hammer silver. Use them to call the community together as a signal to break camp. Okay? Look at the purpose of the shofar, of the trumpet. Look at the purpose of it. And this is what we need to understand. I did a study years ago on this on the Lord Tower. But tonight, my brother and sister, well, we are being led here because Revelation 9, that's how it starts. And so we have to explain this, especially for the new people. They need to understand that everything in God is no coincidence. It's all plan of God. Things are not falling away. They're falling into place. Remember that. Thank you, Lord. So again, amen. So he says to make two trumpet, hammer, silver, which bullhorn don't have silver, okay? That's just bones. And when you blow bull trumpet, the whole community will meet with you at the entrance of the tent of the meeting. Okay? This, hallelujah, was for people to move out of their home and come to the tent and meet. And in that tent was the presence of God, was the tabernacle, my brother and sister. And so God says, when you call them to the meeting, use this trumpet. When you blow the trumpet, the whole community will meet with you at the entrance of the tent meeting. Now, a lot of people get this confused because they say, oh, see, Brother Abby, that everyone are going to hear the trumpet when the Lord comes, and everyone are going to come in the rapture. This is a misunderstanding because these will be people that will be consecrated, separated unto the Lord God Almighty. My brother insisted that God had called them through Moses to do so. Thank you, Lord. And by this time, Numbers, the plague had already come on the earth. The earth had opened their mouth. 3,000 had perished. The snake, the serpent had bit many of them and killed them. So there were very few of them still alive. These were practically the children that were going to the promised land. The elected, selected one that were going to the promised land, my brother and sister. Because by this time, my brother and sister, their parents had died, had perished in the wilderness, had not made it this far, but these children have made it, and these are the ones that Joshua is going to bring into the promised land, my brother and my sister. Thank you, Lord. You can go back and study this. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So when the blow of shofar, the whole community will meet until the entrance of the tent meeting. Only one trumpet blow. If only one trumpet blow, look at the specificness of this from the Lord, okay? Because God's people are going to hear the trumpet, but God is very specific on how it's going to sound, okay? If only one trumpet blow, the leaders, the head of the division of Israel will meet with you, okay? One blow for the leaders. One blow for the leaders to come together, my brother and sister. And when they hear the trumpet fanfare, the tribes that are compassed on the east side will break camp. There you go. Then the rest are coming. The tribe are coming on the second blow, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Notice how God is being specific how this is going to go about.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And when the trumpet sound a second fanfare, the tribe that accompany the sound will break them. And I'm reading from the God's Word Bible, my brother and sister, in case you're wondering. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, which follow the same as the King James, which just makes the word more modern. Amen. It explains it a little bit more. Okay, so they will break up. The fanfare is a signal to break up. And when you gather the assembly, the trumpet will blow without sounding for fanfare. Okay, let me go ahead and thank you, Jesus. Put this in the, thank you, Lord, King James. Okay? And when they blow with them, all the assembly, this is the King James, to assemble themselves to me at the door of the tabernacle in the congregation. Okay? This meeting is similar to God's trumpet being sound to meet in the air with the Lord. Notice the step of the sound of the trumpet. My brother and sister, they are stepping the sound of the trumpet, and God is making it very specific. He's making it in his word very specific, so we will follow the same. And then there will be a similar, when the trumpet of the Lord sound, the Apostle Paul is very clear that we will meet the Lord in the air. Okay? Sounds like to a lot of people, because I heard a lot of testimony and people explaining this, that when the trumpet sound to be going to heaven, you immediately go and you're in heaven. That's not what the Apostle Paul says. Okay? He says that we will meet the Lord in the air. Okay? 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and on. Very specific. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. And if they blow with one trumpet, the princes who are the head of the thousands of Israel will gather themselves unto you. Okay? Notice how, when they blow with one trumpet, the princes are headed, thousands of Israel, gather themselves unto you, okay? Because right now, right here, this is representing the people coming to me with Messiah in the cloud, okay? They're coming to me with the Lord in the air, my brother, my sister. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And when you blow an alarm, then the comes the lights on the east part should go forward. Notice the order and the organization and how these trumpets are blow, my brother and sister, and what people are supposed to do. My brother and sister, a lot of people believe right now their trumpet being sound where God is speaking and is telling us to get ready for his coming. And if you miss this so far, this trumpet that are being sound in the spirit, for us to gather together and get ready to go home, you'll miss the rapture. You'll miss the trumpet of the rapture. Because there is a call from God right now, a trumpet being sound, for people to be ready, be prepared, and be ready to depart. Because God says this to Moses, my brother and sister. Amen. So again, and when you blow an alarm the second time, the lies and the south shall take their journey, and they shall blow an alarm for their journey. Notice how it's being explained for them to journ, my brother and sister, to move. In other words, you cannot stay still. God is calling us into prayer, into seeking his face, into fasting. Hallelujah. This is the call of God, the sounds of God, for us to come close to him now. Okay? My brother and sister, because there is a final call, and that's the one that God is everyone together to come up. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, listen, you should blow and you should, hallelujah, sure, not sound an alarm. This is different. Notice they sound an alarm. Get up, get up, get up. Like you sounding an alarm in the morning to get up to go to work or go to school or go to any meeting. There is an alarm. Beep, 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 beep. My brother and sister, it can be with music, it can be with anything. But again, it's not the same as the sounds of the trumpet, my brother and sister. This sound of this trumpet, hallelujah, is very specific and very direct. Shalom, Brother Miguel. So verse 7, so when the congregation is to be gathered together, that's us, That's God's people. That's the church. In the last day, remember, Jesus Christ, same yesterday with the Israelite, today with us, and forever, my brother and sister. Amen? So to gather together, this is what we gather together to meet the Lord in the clouds of the Apostle Paul, my brother and sister. Amen? So when the congregation, this is number 10:7, seven being fulfillment. Remember we talk about seven being fulfillment? A lot of people say seven is the perfect number of God. Seven is when God finished all his work. Amen? Praise the Lord. So when the congregation is to be gathered together, you should blow, but you should not sound an alarm. Notice the difference now? My brother and sister, notice that the time comes when there's no more. You need to repent. You need to repent. You should have already been repenting. The alarm is repenting. The alarm is for you to get up and repent and get into in prayer and fasting and get ready. Those alarms God's been sounding. My brother, if we go back in the verses, you see, there were alarms sound before this last shofar. This last shofar that is about to be sound for the church to be going home. There will be no alarm in it. It's not to awaken people to prayer and fasting. It is only to change and transform people, my brother and sister, to meeting the Lord in the cloud. And this alignment, this trumpet, last trumpet, this is a transformation one. This is the one where people are already repenting, people are already seeking the Lord, they're ready to come home, and when this one is sound, immediately, my brother and sister, okay? Praise your Lord. I tell you this, and look at the confirmation. The Lord Jesus, I saw him not long ago, a few weeks ago, and it was at the moment of the rapture. I saw Jesus standing there. Excuse me. I share this here, and the Lord told me a few weeks ago, because in this revelation of the rapture that Jesus was standing, the Lord Tower program, I was getting to come onto the program and tell people to repent. And Jesus says to me, not anymore, my son. Not anymore will you be able to tell them to repent no more. I already have you warned them many times for them to repent and be ready. I just heard the Lord say yes. Yes, Lord, that I will be done. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to you. Not no more, the Lord says to me. You won't be able to no more. And I tried and I could not, my brother and sister, because it was not the alarm anymore. The alarm for people to be ready, I could not sound it anymore. The alarm for people to be in daily repenting and fasting weekly, I could not sound it anymore. My brother and sister, this sound of this shofar now was to going home. And it was being sound from heaven. No one had any control of it but only the Lord. Only Father, my brother and sister. So but when the congregation is to be gathered together, okay, number 10:7, seven be fulfillment. My brother insisted, look how the word of God confirms it from thousands of years. This is about 5,000-year-old word. My brother still applying the last day 100%. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, ye should blow, but ye should not sound an alarm. Same thing the Lord showed me. You won't be able to tell them to repent no more, to fast and pray. You won't be able to. No more. I have you say this to them many times. And right there, whoever was ready went with the Lord, was changing and transformed to meet the Lord in the air. My brother and sister. My Lord, my God, what a mighty confirmation. Okay, going back to Revelation 9. When the fifth angel blew his trumpet, I saw a star that had fallen to the earth from the sky. Brother Elby, if you have a telescope, like the government does, and they're watching, they see a meteor fall into the earth. But the revelation of the meteor is, that meteor physically is a stone, but literally it's a fallen angel. Will they see a fallen angel this time? I don't think so, my brother and sister. Because God says it's a star, and a star, a piece of a meteor, a piece of a stone falling. So he gives it the word star, meteor, and he gives the word angel afterward. Not angel, but he gives it the word, my brother and sister, when this fall, that the star was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. Notice that it's a fallen angel. He has given. You don't speak to a stone. You don't give the key to a stone. It's a fallen angel. That's the revelation of it. Verse 2. And then opened the shaft of the bottomless pit. And smoke came out of the shaft like a smoke from a large furnace. There you go. My brother and sister. This furnace from the pit of hell is closed until this fallen angel, hallelujah, falls from the star. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. And he is not leaving heaven to come down and do this. The word, hallelujah, that is being used here, hallelujah, fallen, and when something is cast out, something is thrown down, and God is casting down, is throwing down from the heavenly places the fallen angels that are out there, fallen evil. And they're coming down to the earth by billions. I remember one time I shared this at the Lord's Hour. I was like in front of a large theater in California. Large parking lot, large, very large. And I saw people, as the Lord brought me in there, running out of the theater for their lives. And as I'm looking at them, I'm trying to see what they're running from. When I look up through the cloud, I see all these fallen angels coming down to get on their body and torment the living daylight out of these people, my brother and sister. And as I'm looking ahead of all this evil, I started running for my life, because I said, wow, because I was just taken there. Okay, whether in my body or in the spirit, only the Lord knows, but I believe it was in my body. I ran for my life. I noticed they could not harm me, but they were harming the rest of the people that stay behind in the great tribulation. God has said in Revelation 12, okay, which I'm going to go there now, my brother and sister, there's nothing more powerful and greater confirmation than the Bible itself. I heard this years ago, and it is so true, my brother and sister. Okay? The Bible, hallelujah, confirms itself so much, my brother and sister. So much, hallelujah. Revelation 12:4, and hallelujah, 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, 7 crowns upon his head, and his tail drew the third part of the star of heaven, and cast them to the earth. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, it's not that the devil cast them. God cast them down. Throw them down. That's why they're falling. They wish to stay there. Okay? And one of the book of Sister Anna Rantri, the Lord explained this to Sister Anna Rantri, that heavenly places, planet, I've been there myself, I've been taken there by the Lord several times. It's a planet. Okay, it's a large planet. And they have homes, like mansions. It's like a deserted planet. These principalities live in those mansions. They have stolen so much of it from humanity for years, and they have it for themselves in those mansions. It's full of wickedness and evil. They have lakes, rivers there. It's full of evil, my brother and sister. The Lord has revealed this to his people over the years. And so much to be revealed. But taking what Revelation said about them that are cast out from those places, these demon principality don't want to leave that place. They feel very comfortable there. And the Lord says to Sister Anna Rantri, the Father is going to cast them out on the last day to the earth. And this is going to bring great wickedness and evil to the earth. Okay? Because it's like they're going to take the vengeance on humanity. But it's for the great tribulation. Right when the great tribulation began, they are cast down. They are thrown down. My brother and sister, they don't like it. They don't like it. And the dragon stood before the woman who's ready to deliver to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she fought for a man child who was to rule the nation with a rod of iron. And her cry cut unto God and to his throne. And with the woman fled to the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,200 and 70 years. This 70 years, this 1,200, is what a lot of people believe, the second half of the Great Tribulation. Okay? A lot of people have studied this for years. The woman is Israel, the child of Jesus that was born from the woman. So you have the Word of God is prophetic, past, present, and future. So this is why a lot of people time this to the second half of the Great Tribulation. But the Lord already been born through Mary. And Israel was already cast into the wilderness to be protected by the Lord during when they didn't have a nation, I believe. And they go back to the Holy Land again when God put them back into the nation of Israel. Then they have a place for themselves, my brothers and sisters. But while they were scattered by all these many nations, the devil was always seeking to kill them. This is why Hitler was able to kill 6 million of the Jewish people back in Germany, my brothers and sisters, because the devil has been looking to exterminate them because they're God chosen, elected, and the devil hates them very much. Verse 7, and there was word in heaven, Michael and his angel fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angel. Now, what's the indication in Daniel 12 that Michael orders us to protect Israel? According to Daniel 12, starting in verse 1, his order was his angel is to protect Israel. So this is, we know, this is a key and a clue, if you want to see it this way, that God is speaking about Israel here, my brother and sister, the woman being Israel, Messiah being born from the woman. Okay? And we know Mary and Joseph were Israelite. Hallelujah. My brother and sister. So again, the devil seek to kill them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They were the seed of the Jewish people, so they were all Israelite. They were all considered Israelite. Amen. So the dragon fought the angel and prevailed. Not neither was there a place for him found and anymore in heaven. There you go. There is the confirmation of what God told Sister Anna Roundtree in her book, that God the Father is not going to allow them to be there anymore. He's going to have them being thrown down to the earth. He's going to clean out that planet. He's not going to allow them to be there anymore. Okay? So, my brother and sister, so it prevailed now. There was no place found for them in heaven. Because this place is very up there in the heaven, my brother and sister, very far from the earth. I would say millions a year from the earth. Okay, not too far from heaven, where heaven is right now. Also, I've seen that. But again, it's a place that belongs to God. Amen. Verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out. Notice, it's not that he left heaven. No, he was cast out. Get out of here. Or kicked out is another word for cast out. He was kicked out of heaven. Who kicked him out of heaven? Michael and his angel. It was a battle heaven, the Bible said, a war in heaven. They were fighting. And Michael and his angel prevailed because they had the power of God with them and was able to kick them out of heaven. They kicked them out of the third heaven and they were cast to the earth. Okay? And so this planet here, my brother and sister, completely they'll be cast out to the earth. Okay? And this part here, casting out to the earth from is during the Great Tribulation. And I heard a lot of boys saying in heaven, now have come salvation and strength, the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down, who accused them before God day and night. This is why we don't play around with sin. We don't let sin rest in our body and our life. We need to be repenting always. The Apostle Paul is playing it very beautiful. Pray without ceasing. If you always pray, even in between doing stuff, you know, you're repenting, the blood of the Lord cleanses you, you more likely will be ready to be raptured, departed. You'll be found worthy to escape. But if you keep leaving it for Sunday, for the night, I repent on the night, no. Repent at the very second if you could. Do it. Because if you can speak, prayer is a conversation with God. When you say, I'm sorry to God, you're having a conversation. Father, please, Lord, forgive my sin and my trespasses. Cleanse me with your blood. That's it. You can do it in the bathroom, in your car, anywhere, in the park, anywhere you are, in your home. You can do it anywhere, in your bed, laying down. David prayed laying on his bed. The Bible says in Psalms. My brother and sister, the Jewish people used to throw themselves on the ground, put dust on their head and repent. There's many ways to repent. Job did it. Many ways to repent. It's a conversation with God. It's you saying, I'm sorry to God for trespassing his commandment. I'm sorry, God. Please forgive me in Jesus' name for trespassing your commandment this day, this hour, this minute. Cleanse, oh, hallelujah, my bookkeeping in heaven, Lord. Past, present, and future. Cleanse me, body, soul, and spirit for my sins, Lord. Against you have I sinned, says David. We sin against God when we sin. So why would you put off repenting? That's the biggest mistake. My brother and sister, no. The moment you sin, you repent. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Talking about us, the church, the people, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. And they love now their lives unto death. How much do you love your life? Hallelujah. Got to be willing to die for the Lord any day, any hour, any minute. But you overcome them by the blood. When did the blood go to work? When you repent. When you repent, the blood that was shed on Calvary goes to work in your life. Remember, the blood of Jesus is not dead. That's why we're told not to drink the blood of animals, because it's still alive. You know, the scientists, my brother and sister, and this is so true, you can look it up and research it, have gone to deeper part of Alaska in different place and have found bones of millions of years where they have found dry blood or frozen blood, my brother and sister, in which they have found the life in it. And years is the scientist has been storing blood for 40, 50, 60 years now. Okay? Of animal, horses, give you an example. And they go back to the blood, take out the DNA, they inject the horse back to a female horse, and they'll have a baby. A full horse baby that they use for raising. Actually, these people pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to store these animal blood in, my brother and sister, for years, where they can then have babies from the blood. They've been stored 40, 50, 60 years, my brother and sister. Because the DNA is in the blood. Life is in the blood. There's blood banks all over the United States. Blood banks in New York that I know of. Blood banks all over the world. People pay millions of dollars every year to keep this blood of these specialized horses and animals, not just horses, cow and everything, okay, storage in these banks below freezing temperature. If you think I'm making this up, research this stuff online. Research it. You'll find thousands of them around the world. Blood banks. Just put on Google blood banks, and they'll give you address and information and phone number where you can go and talk to them, and they'll tell you what they do. Millions of dollars and billions worldwide invested in this. Billions in the United States just in this, my brother and sister, because life is in the blood. And scientists have found about this over 60 years or more. Okay? Life is in the blood, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Verse 12. Therefore, rejoice ye heaven, and ye that dwell on them, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and on the sea, for the devil hath cast down unto you, having a great wrath, angry, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. That word, short time, is the same word that we use today, limited time. And it's very limited, let me tell you. They're very nervous in hell, very scared, very nervous, because their limited time is running out. Running out like they can sense it. They can sense the Lord coming already. They can hear the Lord sounding the shofar, the trumpet through his prophet, saying he's about to come. He's about to rapture his people out of the earth, reparture them into heaven. So the demons and principalities are scared. But listen to this. Satan knows that he has but a short time. And a lot of Christians think that we still got 100 years. My Lord, my God. My brother and sister, we got to repent and get right with God. We got to seek him with all of our heart and seek his will, not our own. How can people think we still have 100 years when Satan knows that he has but a short time? Okay? He knows that by this time, this last generation that are you and I, my brother and sister, don't have a health, and it's not appointed to live no more than 70 years. This last generation, according to Psalm, is 70 years. And we're already at 74 years since Israel became a nation, my brother and sister. So the devil can look at those numbers, can look at that generation, look at Israel becoming a nation in 1948 to 2022, that's 74 years. And the devil can look at the number and know that, my brother and sister, God said that last generation will see the coming of Messiah. We have to see, because he said it was see it. The Messiah said, Jesus said, and he is the truth. He is the truth. Can never get any truth no more than him. That we are the last generation. We are the last people that will see that Israel becoming a nation. 1948 to 2022, that's 74 years. We are 4 years ahead of grace. Okay? 4 years of grace. But the Lord knows that he cannot ask Father for more time because a lot of his people are aging and getting sick with all kinds of disease. Air is contaminated. Water is contaminated. Food is contaminated, although he has the power to heal anyone. But the majority of church don't believe in healing anymore. Don't pray for healing anymore because they don't believe it. Okay? My brother and sister, they're not seeking the faith from the Lord to be healed anymore like they used to. Christian back in the early time used to lay head on people, not even touch people, and they will be healed instantly, not the last day church. And the Lord knows this. The lack of faith, he can see it from heaven, my brother and sister. So he knows that this last generation, 74 years old, will die off, which is not supposed to happen. So he cannot say to Father, please, grant me 10 more years, Father. Grant me 10 more years because, you know, they're still young. They're still strong. No. My brother and sister. So Father has to also keep his word because he said the last generation, and he says in some that it will be 70 years. My brother and sister. Okay? And of course, we see like in Daniel, seven years plus. Because if you compare Daniel 12, which is where the Great Tribulation is, Jacob's trouble, if you go back in Genesis 29, Jacob's trouble is 7 years, my brother and sister. But then he worked another 7 years for Rachel, my brother and sister. Okay, and then 6 more years, it took him 20 years to leave, hallelujah, Laban's house. Where to his two wife and his children, the tribe of Israel, my brother and sister, for 7 years with the bottom line, okay, 7 years with the bottom line, but the Laban deceiving, father in law deceiving, my brother and sister, but guess what? In the Great Tribulation, it's only 7 years in a few weeks. That's it. That is it. God is sticking with that 7 years. Daniel 12. A time and a time and a half. Half a time, I'm sorry. Half a time. 3.5 and 3.5 plus a few weeks. My brother and sister. And that's it. That is it. That is it. My brother and sister. Because now, whoever stay behind, according to God now, whoever stay behind, okay, whoever stay behind out of the 70-year generation that... The one that are obedient, that are waiting for Messiah, will go home at 70 years. Right now at 74. The one that stay behind can only be alive 7 more years. They cannot die. They'll stay alive 7 more years. That's 11 years extra. They will be 81 when the Great Tribulation finishes. My brother and sister, that is extending the years. But here's the thing. God knows that he said in his word that they will elude them. They cannot kill them. So it's okay for them to go 74 years old into the Great Tribulation. It's okay. Maybe 75, but 74, they can go into the Great Tribulation. My brother and sister, why? Because they're not going to die in the Great Tribulation. Okay? They'll end up being 81. They may feel the 81 underneath and body pain and so much more. But it's the last testing that they need to go through. My brother and sister, hallelujah. The last testing before the millennium, before Messiah returned. Okay? Now, when Messiah returned, everything changes right away. Comes out with his army. It's a cleansing house that he's bringing. With fire, my brother and sister, a cleansing home with fire. This earth, right now, it may have the capability to move to Mars and create city of Mars and everyone to move there, move all the people, almost 8 billion people, all move them all to Mars and leave the earth empty. And if they have the capability to clean this earth and you ask science, what will be the best way to clean out this earth? And they'll tell you with fire. We will have to filter all the seawater and lakes, bring them to Mars, and leave the earth completely dry, and then put the whole earth through fire, my brother and sister, which that's what Messiah is going to do. The only thing that only Messiah has the power to do that, to this earth. But if men could do it, they know that this is the only way to cleanse the earth, to cleanse the sea, okay? So there's so many fish that are sick in our lakes, in the river, and even in the sea because of the oil spill and so much more. And the contamination of nuclear waste into our international water. The only way to clean out the sea, if you can purify the water and take it up to Mars, will be to put fire through the whole sea. The whole sea, the whole earth, rivers and lakes, put it through really thousands of degree fire, my brother insisted, and then start over again. Where you have burned all the chemical and bugs and all everything. Everything has to be put to fire. And this is how the Lord is going to do it before he begins his millennium. Deeply put it to fire. Shalom, Sister Rueda. Deeply put the earth to fire and have it cleansed completely. Nothing he can keep from the sea. Nothing he can keep from the land. Because even human beings are contaminated. How much did God keep from the times of Noah? Of the people that were contaminated. Not even one, my brother and sister. It was only Noah and his family. Eight, because Noah's DNA and his family was pure. Okay? And God put them into the ark and closed the door and brought water into the earth and cleansed the entire earth. Remember, there was no oil spill yet. There was no chemical contamination over the water. The chemical that the fallen angel pulled was into the body of the people, the animal, the flying bird, and all that. Now, chemicals in the sea and the lake and the river and the animal, RFID chips, and human by seeing and so much more, everyone right now, practically everyone, is fully contaminated in the last days with all kinds of chemical. When I remember I was praying to the Lord a few years ago, in regard to the flu vaccine that we have received back in 2014, 2015, 2016. And the Lord says to me that they already have put stuff in it, into those vaccines. And I began to sincerely repent for the Lord for taking the flu vaccine back then, because, you know, of course, we should have asked the Lord anyway. But I asked the Lord, he said, yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He's going to, hallelujah. He's going to put it through fire, sister. He's going to put the earth through fire. Okay? Praise the Lord. Brother. So they put it under the fire. It's the only way. It is the only way. And the Apostle Peter, hallelujah. Let me look this up. Because I haven't talked about this, my brother and sister. Listen, 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, which the heaven shall pass away with great noise. The element shall melt with fervent heat. And the earth also, the work therein, shall be burned up. Listen. It being put through the fire, Peter says. I got one more verse, but got to put this in the chat room. So notice how God will deal with this earth. He's going to put it completely through fire and burn it. Burn it up. Verse 2. 2 Peter 3:12. Looking and hastening unto the coming of the Lord God, the day of God, where the heaven being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. There will be nothing that will not melt. Everything will be melted completely. Fire on the earth, fire in the heavens. Because the heavens are contaminated. Elon Musk and these people sending all the satellite into space, they have contaminated our heavens. My brother and sister, bird, when there was only a few thousand satellites in space, bird only hit a glass, completely miscommunicating each other. Okay? Now they're hitting a wall. This bird that hit the wall of my house flying. My brother and sister, completely missing the communication. Okay? Because they use the communication they use sound. And they make a sound. And the sound can bounce back and forward. And so much more. They have like an internal GPS. And they can fly and know not to hit wood, hit all that, my brother and sister. And they can communicate very well this way. They have no problem, my brother and sister. Amen. We hope for the new earth, new heaven. So now with all these satellites communicating with different tones, you know that some of the satellites are releasing tones into the cloud, air, earth. And those tones are hitting the head of the bird and animals and sea and lakes and all that. There was just a place up there that I played somewhere, I believe in either Asia or somewhere on the earth, where sharks were swimming. No, was it shark? Dolphin was swimming. And they all swim out of the beach. They completely missed the direction. My brother, you can look it up. Okay? My brother and sister, they miss the direction in the sea. They swim out into the dry soil. And they all were thinking they were heading correctly because of what these satellites are doing to the animals, birds and all kinds of animals, my brother and sister. It's completely evil. Just what they did in the times of Noah and in the times of Lot. Everything was contaminated. And so the Lord said it will be like in the times of Noah and the times of Lot. If it will be just like in the times of Noah and the times of Lot, then they have satellite back then. There have been pieces of metal shape dated back thousands of years. My brother and sister, I don't know what it said that they found in Egypt, deep over 300 feet below. It was a piece, some kind of piece of metal, well shaped and everything. It was about over 12,000 years old. I believe they say when they were dating it. My brother and sister. Something that they thought it was impossible to find. They're finding things that are deep into the... Remember that Egypt shook and it's been shaking for thousands of years. So it's been flipping. It's like when this earthquake happens in California, the mountain, the volcano that have been sleeping for thousands of years are waking, and they throw on top of California, San Francisco, so much lava. that become hundreds of feet above the, where San Francisco is now. Imagine if it goes 300 feet above in lava alone. Okay? If this will continue the way it is, in 1,000 years, they will have to dig 300 feet below lava deep down to be able to find anything material from San Francisco. And there's plenty of stuff in San Francisco, let me tell you, or in New York. Okay? So I'm just giving you an explanation for you to understand that the deeper they go into the earth, the more stuff they found. And I was telling someone, listen, God, when all these things were covered with lava and dirt and so much more over these thousands of years, God meant it for them to stay there. But men are so curious, like in China, this guy created a digging machine, remote control. And it was digging over 200 feet below the earth in China. And they found an old temple of stuff made of gold and all kinds of wicked and evil that they used to use in the old days, stuff, artifacts, my brother and sister, that God meant it for them to stay there. Over, I think it was about 220 feet below the earth. But this, and he can go deeper. He can go up to 400 feet with this remote machine digging down. And he has camera. He can see everything. I said digging and digging and going down the ground. And then he can take photo and make a big enough hole where they can bring down equipment and whatever they can find, they can dig it out of there. My brother and sister, bring it out of there. Careful. And all the artifacts that was brought out of there were artifacts that were used to kill many thousands and millions of people in the old age. They found them. God meant it for all the bloodshed that they used those artifacts with, for those stuff to stay there. But men are so curious, my brother and sister. They want to know how they did it, how they killed so many people, what tool that they used. And they're coming up with these machines to do so. This generation is becoming as wicked of those old generations that killed millions of people, my brother and sister, with all kinds of evil. No. God wants us to stay away from all that garbage of the devil. Going back to Revelation 9. Okay? So, and open up the shelf, the battle is paid. A smoke came out of the shelf like a smoke from a large furnace, and the smoke darkened the sun and the air. My brother and sister, notice what this wicked fallen angel knows that will bring humanity in darkness. That not even the lights inside of the home will work. Not even the flashlight will work well. My brother and sister, this fallen angel knows specifically what he needs to do, but God's going to allow him. He's going to be cast down, and he's going to allow him, he's going to give him the key of the bottomless pit. He's going to take that big key and open the bottomless pit, my brother and sister. And when he opens it, he's looking for something, something that's going to come out of there and cover the whole earth and make everything dark, darkness cover the whole earth, my brother and sister. And of course, what are scientists going to say when they see that stone come down to the earth? And in a few minutes, darkness covered the whole earth. Huh? Oh, and it clicks. Just in the clicks, it's going to go away. No, it isn't. And they will be going by in months and years, and people will be asking, how come it's not going away? Can we get an explanation? What's going on? And then CNN and all these television channels will continue to lie to people and give people misinformation. If you're not reading the Bible and believing God's word, what you are going to believe outside God's work is misinformation and lies. The word of God is the only truth that we should believe. I'm sorry, Lord, for talking about even other things outside the word, like the story, but because a lot of it are lies and truth. And we're only supposed to speak the truth, not any lie. Shalom, sister. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Yeshua. Verse 3. Locust came out of the smoke unto the earth, and they were given the power, like the power helped the scorpion, earthly scorpion, and scorpion. I don't know how many of you have been stung by a scorpion, early scorpion. The stink is horrible. It's what I heard from people saying. Okay, they're horrible. The pain is, people drop to the floor in pain. My brother and sister, so it's horrible. Okay, these locusts has the power, like these scorpion on the earth. But they are given power, my brother and sister. Who gives power to them? The Almighty, the Lord. Because he's the only one that has all power in heaven and earth. And they are given power to do this. God is allowing them to do this, my brother and sister. Verse 4, and they were told not to harm the grass. No, who's telling them what to do and what not to do? The one that has all power and all authority, our Lord. Has all power in heaven, no authority on the earth. He is the one telling them, look, okay, you can do this. You can sting people and cause them pain. Okay? Hopefully that they'll repent and learn. But do not harm the grass and the plant or the tree on the earth. That they could only harm people. Make sure you cause them a lot of pain that they can get on their knees and repent, especially the atheists. Make sure you sting them a lot. Just kidding. But again, God is giving them power to sting people. Go out there and do your thing. And make sure you sting the atheists a lot so they can humble themselves and repent. My brother and sister, he's giving them power, okay? So surely this gets people to repent. Okay, 100 people who have not had the seal of God on the forehead. Okay? So, you know, he's saying, make sure you harm the one that do not have the seal of God. Do not harm the one that has the seal of God. So everybody else is for grab. Or everybody else is for sting. Sting them. Okay? Sting them very well. Make sure they can get on their knees and repent. My brothers and sisters, that will teach them a lesson. They didn't want to repent before. With this thing, I'm sure they're going to get on their knees and cry out to God. No, the Lord doesn't think that way. He's allowing this because they are part of the kingdom of death. And that's what they do. They're wicked and evil. And because people has made a covenant with death, the Word of God says, especially in the last days, they don't know the consequence of making a covenant with death and rejecting God. So God has to allow death to reign. They're sting, they're evil, like the locusts, over these people, my brother and sister, for their eyes to be open and know the kind of wicked, evil, deceivement, covenant, agreement they made with them. That is not going to go well with them. Not going to go well. So God has to allow death and his demon, okay, to do what they do, because that's what they do. A lot of people don't know what God is delivering them from daily, including the wicked, my brother and sister. He's preserving the life. He is saving them from car accident, plane, airplane crash, and so much more. The Lord does this every day. No one gets underneath and thank him for it. No one. Say, oh, God, thank you for all the people you delivered today from plane crash. He does that every day. He provides food for the hungry and clothes for the naked every day. No one gets on their knees and thank him for it. My brothers, the things that God does. And then you hear people getting angry at God for whatever happens. Something evil happened, they immediately get angry. One is because they know God is in control. They know God is real. But they are refusing to bow to him. Okay? But here's the thing. All knee will bow. All tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord for the glory of God. Whether they like it or not, it's going to happen. My brother and sister. And the term that it will happen is different now. That's another thing. Christ said, verse 5. And they were not allowed to kill them, the one that did not have the seal of God on the forehead. Them, God said, no, not them. Don't touch those. Those I will allow you to touch. Maybe because they have the seal. They've been selected, my brother and sister. They've been seeking God. They've been repenting. They were not ready for the rapture because they were chosen for the great tribulation because they're part of the 144,000. Chosen. Okay? They were only allowed to torture them for 5 months. Who's raising their hand to be part of the 144,000? Who's raising their hand to be part of the 144,000? You better read your Bible yet. They were only allowed to torture them for 5 months. I met some of the people that they said that God told them that they're part of the 144,000. Good luck. God bless you. Take care. Make sure you stay in prayer. Okay? When these locusts are released, they're going to torture these people. They're not going to kill them. But when they stink all over your body, when they sting your body all over your body in pain like scorpion, and you're on the floor crying out for mercy, then you understand what I mean. It's not going to be easy. It's better to look forward to be going home in the rapture, departure of the bride of Christ. A lot of people think, I heard people contact me all the time over the years. Brother, talk about the 144,000. Brother Elby, please, bring us teaching about the 144,000. When I have read the Bible about this, my brother and sister, hallelujah. People need to read hallelujah, their Bible. The seal might look beautiful. It may give you a new look. You may look yourself in the mirror and see the seal and say, wow, I look really, wow, it makes me look so special. But when the locusts sting you and you're in pain in the floor, everything changes. Your perspective will change. The torture was like the pain of scorpion and sting. That's hurt, people are going to say. That's really hurt. No one told me about this. No one in my church told me about this pain. I was looking forward to being a part of the 144,000, but this hurt. This pain of the scorpion hurt. I had a pastor come with his family and visit me. They believe they're part of those that are staying behind. They said, Pastor looked at me and said, Brother Ellie, why don't you stay behind with us? I looked at him and I said, not me. Not me. I don't want to stay behind. I don't know how these people read their Bible. You know, I think about how people read their Bible or what they understand out of their Bible. But when I read stuff like this, my brother and sister, I get a really good understanding that even if you stay with that seal on your forehead behind, and you're elected, selected, when these things sting you, you're going to be in so much pain. I'm not looking forward to pain. I'm looking forward to joy and peace in the Holy Spirit is what I'm looking forward to, not pain, my brother and sister. So, again, he says to me, Brother Ellie, why don't you stay with us? We'll do the work of God during the great tribulation. I said, no. I wanted to be courteous, and I said, no, thank you. Because these are not things you say thank you to. Verse 6. And at that time, people will look for death. It sounds like it's just a temporary pain when you take a cup of Tylenol and it goes away. It doesn't sound to me like it is. Because look how people are on the floor crying out like babies. At that time, people will look for death and never find it. And will long to die, but death will escape them. See you, they will say to them. You're in a lot of pain? Deal with it, that's going to say to them. Deal with it. But can I get a couple of aspirin or Tylenol? No more of that neither. No more of that neither. My brother and sister, you're going to have to deal with it if you stay behind. I'm not looking forward to that. Crying like a baby in the ground in pain, looking to even to die. When you are in so much pain and you wish it that you can just die like Job. Remember Job? Job was in so much pain, he would scratch his skin and it would come off on him. That's a lot of pain. My brother, they said he had a type of leprosy. And that's what the lepers said when they scratched with their nails really deep. The pieces of flesh came off, bleeding and poof, puff, and all that, my brother and sister. So I'm not looking forward. And that's basically what the Great Tribulation is bringing upon humanity. People don't realize this because they don't read their Bible. You got to pray for wisdom. As the Lord revealed it to you. We're sharing this stuff here so you look forward to be going home in the rapture of the departure of the bride of Christ that is about to happen. Last generation that is 74 years old. The rapture should have happened in 2018. People who was taken to heaven around that time, they said they saw no clock in heaven. They asked for the Lord for the clock. Remember, there was a sister. She was taken around that time to heaven. 2018 specifically. I didn't understand why, you know. And she's looking for the clock in heaven in the Revelation. And asked the Lord, where's the clock? And the Lord looked at her and said, there's no more clock, my child. I'm bringing my people home. 2018. We're 4 years into this waiting. And it's 74 years now. From 1948 to 2018 is 70 years. We're 4 years ahead now. 4 years of grace. My brother and sister, if the rapture doesn't happen within a year or two, I'll give you an example. You may have, 70% of the people pass away that die that was supposed to see the rapture. And God is not a man that he will lie, nor the son of a man that he will repent. He made us a promise. The Lord looked at me a few weeks ago, my brother and sister, in the spirit, and I could see Father. And says to me, it is over for you, my son. And Father looked straight into my eyes, as the Lord did. Jesus did, and Father did. And said, it is over for you, my son. Talking about us. It is over for you here, my son. Over. God's not going to say that to me. And then I'm going to have to wait 10 more years. No, that's not God. That is not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I know. That I know for 30 years now, my brother and sister. That's not him. He's not going to tell me this, and I'm going to have to wait years to see. No, that's not going to happen that way. God doesn't work that way. He said it's over. It's over. It's over, my brother and sister. And that's what the Lord showed me. Remember the time a few months ago, the Lord took me into the wedding. Then we both came out. And before Father allowed us to come out of the wedding, He showed me the door to go in and into the wedding. And the door was so shut, so close to being closed completely, that the Lord had to turn us little as this Ant-Man movie. I don't know if you've seen it. Turned us very little to be able to come out. The Lord and I, and then He turned us back regular again. And then the Lord and I began to talk again. Outside. My brother, taking me back to earth again. My brother and sister, there's no more time left. None. The clock has been removed. There's no more time in heaven. And the spirit, if you can sense how much the time left, you will only sense second. We might even be going into millisecond in the spirit, which is almost nothing on the earth. Okay. The only thing is that we cannot say I know the day and hour. My brothers, no, we cannot say that. But we know it's so close. So close, my brother and sister. I was taken last night to the Great Tribulation. And all I saw around me was destruction upon destruction. I was here in the United States. And it looks to me like the land was flipped upside down. I never seen the United States this way. My brother and sister, like the whole planet. And I think someone was saying to me, Shalom, Sister Romero. Someone was saying to me, Brother Elvie, the meteor, and I think maybe this is what the Lord, thank you, Lord, was trying to explain to me last night. The meteor that's about to hit the earth, someone said to me, and this is why when someone gives me an information, it's better to take it in prayer and hear from the Lord, because we don't know everything. And a lot of things are questionable. We need to hear from the Lord. Someone said, Brother Elvie, when the meteor hit the earth, it's going to move the earth out of the orbit in a certain way that people will not be able to live normal again. To me, that was like, wow, that sounds extreme and crazy. I'm speaking like a human now. These are my words, not the word of the Lord. Someone said that to me, Brother Elvie. when this piece of stone hits the earth, it's gonna move it inside. It's gonna move it, flip it, in such a way that the earth would not be the same anymore. Well, when the Lord took me, and thank God He only took me there for a few minutes in the Great Tribulation, because I don't like to be there anymore. I find myself there when the Lord takes me there, and I'm looking to when He can get me out of there. My brother and sister, why? Because life is so horrible. People are running for themselves, and there's no food to eat. There's no water to drink. Everything is contaminated over 1,000 times is what it is now. There's so much heat and nakedness if you go around. So people may think, well, Brother Lee, why there's so much nakedness in the Great Tribulation? Because imagine our population right now, let's say 60% of the people in the world are vaccinated, which, by the way, Elon Musk, in one of his home interview, had an image carved of a werewolf in his living room. A pure human werewolf, just like I seen in the Great Tribulation. When I saw that, if I wasn't sitting, I think I would have fallen. Because how can Elon Musk and Bill Gates and all these people have these things in their home? Where did they got these ideas and technology and by viral technology to put in by thing that would change people into werewolf? They're looking forward to seeing humanity change into werewolf. Someone says to me, "Brother, you don't know how evil Elon Musk is." Okay? I said, "I don't know. He doesn't look to me that evil, but if he is, that is between him and the devil, between him and God." My brother and sister. Well, Jesus said to the Pharisees, "Ye are of your father, the devil." So that's between him and his father, my brother and sister. But that is really terrible. And when I saw that, wow. They knew before the vaccine came out that what they were planning and thinking. Okay? My brother and zombie. Yeah, they're turning into zombie, werewolf, beast, bird flying, all kinds of things. Double-headed beast. So, my brother and sister, well, their technology, well, they're wicked, they're looking forward to this. We're looking forward to be going home. They know this stuff, people very soon are going to start turning. They're just waiting. My brother and sister, this is why we need to be ready to go home. So what I saw last night, this morning, was I saw, like, looking at a mountain, but upside down. And it looks to me like the stone that fell, the meteor that had fell upon the earth, had caused so much damage that our country looked unrepairable. I mean, you will have to use so many machines. Highways are destroyed. Roads are destroyed. I mean, FEMA, with all the money that they have and all the machines that they have, they won't be able to, especially with large stone like I saw. You're talking about, my brother and sister, a couple of million-pound stone falling. What on earth that you and I know can withstand the force of a million? I'm going to go 50% on the stone. A 50% stone, a million-pound stone. What on earth can take a hit from the sky and still be standing? What building? What bridge? What? Can someone inform me? Because what I seen when that hit the earth, and what people can stick a stone upon the head of a million pound and still be talking after that, my brother and sister. That's what I was looking at this morning in the Great Tribulation. It was horrible. It was untold. To me, what the Lord was confirming was what this person said, that this meteor, when they hit the earth, this stone that they're looking to destroy, that they're getting ready in the island Mona next to Puerto Rico. Sister Carla sent me a link of a video. Someone else sent me a link of a video. I have not seen the video. I apologize. I know my brother and sister, a lot of people are looking this stuff up online and I'm finding all this information and are surprised with what they're finding. They're like stunned. But again, it's not that you see that when we've been talking, my brother and sister, they've been getting together. They've been putting their best rocket next to the island Mona to knock down this stuff. And again, Prophet Ephraim has a website where you can go online, you can Google his name, and find this website that has pictures and video of this stuff. I'm not sure even what people found on YouTube can much relate to it, because Prophet Ephraim knows that a lot of information are being deleted, especially on Facebook. So you're not going to find how many people complain that their videos and stuff on Facebook has been deleted or removed. So Prophet Ephraim has a website, a webpage, where he keeps all this information online, where if you can find it, you'll find proof of what I'm talking about. Photo of the rocket and all these special machines that they have to knock down the stone that they believe will hit before December of this year will hit the earth, my brothers and sisters. NASA truly believe this, and they're spending billions of dollars behind their belief that this stone will hit the earth before December. Again, that's what they're saying. I'm not saying that. They are saying that. I'm repeating what they're saying. But I saw the pieces of the stone that hit the earth that the Lord was showing me this morning in the Great Tribulation. The aftermath, my brother and sister, because a lot of this stuff leads into the, I believe, leads everything into the Great Tribulation. Or is part of the Great Tribulation, the beginning of it. The stone hitting the earth, my brother and sister. Because when the Lord showed me one that will hit close to Canada, people in Canada, please repent. There is a mighty stone that's going to hit close to Canada and cause the biggest mess that Canada and the United States will see in the northern part. But that's in the Great Tribulation. I truly saw that in the Great Tribulation years ago, my brother and my sister. There's no escaping the judgment. No matter where people are, there is no escaping the judgment. Judgment is coming like people cannot imagine. The Lord is giving people the last of the last opportunity. Last of the last. Hallelujah. To get on board. Get on board. Get on board before it's too late. Because the judgment, I got a few words from a few prophets. I'm going to play in a few. A few people that had dreams of the coming of the Lord. There's a sister someone put on my page that very anointed word from the Lord. He's about to raise his, she just put it up not even an hour ago, that the Lord is about to lift his people up, raise them up, my brother and sister. Get them out of the earth. Let me see if I can, because, praise the Lord. I was trying to download it, but for some reason, I could not. But it's a very, very anointed word. It's a short word, my brother and sister. But as God is speaking, and he's saying that he's about to lift his people, raise his church, get his people out of here, my brother and sister, the great judgment that is coming, it will not delay, my brother and sister. It will. A lot of people think that we have years. No. We got to get out of here. God's going to get us out of here. The Lord promised that he would, and he is going to, my brother and sister. Okay? He is going to. Why? Because he's faithful. Very clear. Faithful is him. Set up on his throne is faithfulness. He is faithful. He's going to fulfill his promise to us. Thank you, Lord. I'm trying to get the word. See, there's problem bringing this word down from the internet, my brother and sister. And thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But it's a very powerful word. she said that the Lord is about to return. That's what the Lord says to her. That's what she's saying. Thank you, Lord. Okay. I believe I got it. Thank you, Yeshua. I want to play this audio quickly. Thank you, Lord. There's so much confirmation, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. And what is about to happen? I want to put this word because it's so anointed. When I heard it, wow, what an anointing on this word. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord, that there is no time to waste. No time to waste. There's only time, hallelujah, to get ready. Be ready. Be ready. My brother and sister. So what this stone is going to cause, my brother and sister, it's unimaginable. The destruction that it's going to bring upon the earth, my brother and sister. When people see it, those that are staying behind see the destruction, they are going to be shocked, shocked, completely shocked by the destruction, because it's like the stone. Okay, NASA will hit it. The government will hit the stone with the best rocket and maybe break it, but it makes it worse. It makes it worse, my brother and sister. Hitting it will make it worse, because if it hits somewhere in the sea and causes maybe great tsunami, well, people can run to the mountain like where we are. But if you break it and spread the pieces everywhere, then they will hit buildings. Like this I hear here in the United States, and destroy buildings, houses, city, and level city to nothing. And that's what these people are not thinking. They want to like that movie link that I gave you on Sunday. Can someone please put it on the chat room? The link to the movie of the meteor. My brother and sister, they want to hit it to break it, to smash it to dust. Because they believe if they turn it into dust, then it won't be much damage, which will be okay if they will be able to do so. But in this situation, this stone is much bigger. And it looks like other stone will follow, my brother and sister. The Lord said in his word this thing will come. The star that will fall from heaven, the meteor. My brother and sister, in Revelation 9:1. So at that time, people will look for death and never find it. They will long to die, but they will escape them. Remember also, thank you, brother, sister, sorry. Remember also that death and Hades are walking together in the great tribulation. So people are looking for death because they can see death in hell. They want death to kill them, but they say, I'm sorry, I'm not in business anymore. Okay? My brother and sister, they will not be allowed to kill, because when Father says so, when God says so, that they can kill. So not anymore they can kill during the great tribulation. It's not to leave everyone to their own suffering. There's nothing more worse than the pain of death, my brother and sister. Okay? But, yes, the movie is almost 3 hours long. And I'm sorry, because I didn't want people, it has some violence in it. But you can skip the violence and just look up what is, my brother and sister, is happening there. Okay, that meteor coming to the earth is really an eye-opening, because it's similar to what is about to happen now. So you see, government knew about this stuff, and they've been getting ready for it. They've been getting ready for it. But it's not under their control anymore. That's what God's been saying. He's going to show his mighty power in the last days. Because a thing like this meteor that is coming, it won't be under government control. It will not be, it's not going to come under human control. Only God can stop it. Only God can destroy it. But guess what? God's going to allow it. God's going to show them that he's in control. And that as much as technology they have today, it will be useless with the judgment that is coming. Useless. my brother and sister. Useless. The technology that you have is useless for the judgment that is coming. So why have an iPhone 14 when 14 pieces of rock is going to destroy our city, my brother and sister? Huh? When 14 big pieces of rock are going to destroy our city, our lakes, and our sea and cause tsunami and so much more, why have an iPhone 14 for? It's not going to help people at all. It's just making people prideful right now that they're able to pay $1,600 for an iPhone 14. My brother and sister, no. Buy the cheap phone. And buy the one that has iPhone 11, iPhone 10, iPhone 8, and then don't have 5G. Get the one that don't have 5G. Get the 4LTG. LTG, yeah, that's it. Stay grounded. 4LTG, stay grounded. To the earth. 5G brings you into the sky of ice and the sea, my brother and sister. Okay? And contaminate people's DNA. That's what the 5G does. Some people say they feel it burning when it's on their body, my brother and sister. It feels, they can feel the burning in them. That's what 5G is doing, my brother and sister. It's terrible, the technology that they have come up with that are destructive, evil, my brother and sister. So on the trumpet, God says to Moses and the people, but when the congregation is to be gathered, you should blow, but you should now sound an alarm. No more whining to repenting, God says. No, the alarm is the sounding to repenting. The trumpet, the sounding to gather together to come out and meet the Lord in the cloud. Okay? The Lord says to me, that when this comes, I won't be able to preach on the Lord's Hour anymore. No more warning or repenting. Okay? So, verse 8. And the sons of Aaron and the priests should blow the trumpet. Remember what God says back in Exodus 29, 30, 31 about the sons of Aaron and them. Holy priests, separated, sanctified them. And to be a my priest, God says to Moses. Okay? Separated from the people, from sins, from everything. That's what that word holiness comes out of. Being separated, sanctified unto the Lord. God told them about Aaron. But God says here in number, that the sons of Aaron, the priests should blow the trumpet. And they shall be to you for an ordinance forever through your generation. When would the trumpet sound? The sound and the meaning of the trumpet sound. When would this change? Never. This is an ordinance forever, God says. Because this is how God is bringing his people home in the last days. The bride of Christ. Through the blowing of the shofar. The blowing of the trumpet. So that has to be established forever. That cannot change. My brothers and sisters. So God made it an ordinance. Make sure that if any pastor of any church or any government, anyone in authority in government wants to change this, people will not listen to them. You stick with what the Word of God says in the last days, my brother and sister. That's what we'll stay with. Hello, listen to this word.
Don't let you share. So I was walking down the street, regular, like in my town where I live, and I'm just walking down the street, and I go, and there was people outside, and I feel like a chaos, and I'm like, what's going on? I look to the left, and I see something descending from the sky, and like the first thing I thought, that's a deception, that's gotta be the government, like with the aliens and stuff, doing the deception. But as I go, and it comes closer, I see him, you guys. When I tell you that I see Jesus, I see him, but he's not like what we think he looks like. He came down and he was ascending, like it was like in a cloud, but he was on a horse. And he had short hair. He was like my complexion. He had a crown on his head, and he wasn't smiling, you guys. He was not smiling. Look to the right-hand side, and I seen in the heavens. I seen the kingdom of heaven. I seen like a city in the cloud. And I hear people saying, the Messiah, the Messiah. And I'm like, oh my God, it's Jesus. I'm like, oh my God, it's Jesus. And he came down. So I go and I start running. See, on the right side and the left side, it was these demons coming from the dirt. And they looked like gargoyles, but they were like made out of stone. And they were just grabbing people. I've never experienced anything like this, you guys. And Lord knows I'm humbling myself. God is real. Jesus is real. He's coming. He's coming.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. How many ways God has to speak to humanity for them to listen and know that the Lord is about to return. In that no matter how people look at life and see things going on every day, what the Lord promised he will do, we are the last generation that will see the return of the Lord, my brother and sister. And this last generation is 74 years old. Last generations, my brother and sister, that will see him come. It has to see him. It has to see the departure first. And then those that stay behind will have to see the second coming. My brothers and sisters, this is the last generations. There's no other generation coming after this. My brothers and sisters, okay? There's no other. There's just no other generation. This is it. This is it, my brothers and sisters. With all the contamination of everything and everything, everything is speaking of the coming of the Lord. So clear. So clear. My brother and sister, I don't know why people question his coming. Verse 7, Revelation 9. The locusts look like horses prepared for battle, and they seem to have crowns that look like gold on their head. Their faces were like human faces. Hallelujah. When God wants to speak to us, my brother and sister, And relate to us, where have we gone wrong? These locusts have a part of them that is human, fallen, okay? That comes from a human earthly and a demon from hell, my brother and sister. This stuff is earthly. This wicked stuff is earthly as it is from hell. And it feels that it has the right to be on the earth. And God has given them the power to come out and do their wicked. The wicked part of them, the demonic part of them, will stink humanity, my brother and sister. But when you look at them, it has the face of a human. And humanity will look at them in the Great Tribulation is, and say that they're part of them. But it's also like I look at this army of the devil, my seed that came out from the ground. Soldier. It looks like me. And my brother and sister, that's why when the Lord says that we should be consecrated unto him, that means that we have no part in evil, no part with evil, brother and sister. It's a total separation. Verse 8, they have hair like women and their teeth like lion's teeth. Now, when the humanity make this type of contamination, back in the times of Noah, but God knew that man without Christ, without his son, without him, just like in the generation of Noah, will come up and do the same. That's where the RFID had come out, the vaccine, COVID-19 vaccine had come out, all with demonic blood, human DNA, demonic DNA, all mixed technology, robotics, nanotechnology. It's a super technology mixed together to the taste of evil and to the taste of human, not brothers and sisters. They eat the blood of human, they eat the blood of demon. A mixed soup there. And not a vegetable soup, but a demonic soup to be injected into people's body and make a crazy outcome in the Great Tribulation. A werewolf beast, bats,
snake look like, two-headed beast. I saw a human that had turned into a two-headed beast that looked like snakes. My brother said, snake's head. Horrible thing. And it can turn the head one to the side, the other one to the other side, looking around. Each head have an eye in between the head. And the eye can, one eye can look one way, the other one can look the other way. But the deformed body looks like, kind of like the locust. It looked like a sheep. The part of the body looked like a sheep of this two-headed monster that this person turned into. And my brothers and sisters, they're hungry for blood and meat, human meat. Somehow they knew that there were millions and billions that they not got to buy seen, but they're not prepared to go home in the rapture neither, because people think that, some people say they're not going to serve the devil, but they're neither going to serve God. Okay? So they choose to stay standby, but in God, remember when the Lord revealed this to me a few weeks ago, they're going to have to choose the devil or choose the Lord. There's not going to be no in-between. There's no in-between. They're going to have to make this choice. And when that judgment comes in the Great Tribulation, they're going to have to make the choice. It's either the Lord Jesus and be willing to be beheaded for him, or the devil, and then they're going to have to take the mark on the forehead and be completely sealed for death. Be part of death 100%. Terrible, 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 terrible. I met this lady years ago in the Great Tribulation that the Lord wanted me to meet her. Some reason, at one time, she was a Pentecostal woman. But she took the mark of the beast in the Great Tribulation, my brother and sister. And I don't know from where she got her teaching. I don't know. She was in the Great Tribulation and the worst, and she was making fun of this young woman who had her two sons that stayed behind with her in the Great Tribulation, and they were eating from the garbage. And she was telling her, dear, why are you putting your children and yourself through this suffering? Why don't you just take the mark? It's not going to hurt you. And you'll get some government support. But take this mark. She was telling her she was going to get some of the Antichrist support. And she would take the mark, my brother and sister. Well, Daniel said that he would make things prosper. There will be a time when the Antichrist will make the earth seems like he was going to prosper them again. Like the Lord is saying right now, the economy is going to fall. But somehow it looks like it's not going to fall. Things are going to get back again, a lot of people think. Jesus said in Matthew 24, be ye not deceived. If people don't get right with God and still think that the economy will be back strong again, when the economy really falls completely 100%, these people will take on their own life. Because they're believing the lies. You got to listen to what God is saying. You got to read your Bible and seek God. Everything I'm telling you about this, you can seek it from the Lord yourself in prayer and fasting. You can seek to hear yourself directly from the Lord about this. And if I'm lying to you, come to my face and call me a liar. I will bow my head. But I know I am not about this. Because this is what the Lord himself who showed me this, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. I remember back in 2012, I was willing and I was telling people, if you think I'm a liar and the Lord tells you otherwise, call me a liar. Go ahead. I allow you to. Go ahead and call me a liar. That's okay. Call me a liar to my faith. Call me a false prophet. If you think I'm giving you false word, go ahead and call me a false prophet. I know I'm not. I tell you this. I know I'm not. The Lord Jesus himself told me I am not. I tell the Lord I was willing to hear people call me false prophet, even the Lord. And the Lord says to me, no, you're not, my son. But Lord, no, you are not, he says to me twice. Okay, Lord, I have to bow my head to him. My brother and sister, I'm not going to take people's time. I'm not going to entertain people to be deceived and stay behind. No. The whole purpose of this is for people to prepare and come home to be with Jesus. Okay? And later on, if you see me in the parking heaven, want to come up and slap me for anything I said that offended you, okay, I'll take it. I'll take it like a big boy. Thank you, Lord. If you want to give me a hug, okay. It's also welcome, my brother and sister. But the whole plan here is for us to come to heaven, to be getting ready for the coming of Jesus. I got so excited this week when the Lord showed me, brothers and sisters here, he had chosen for his army, and I saw them. And I'm like, whoa, that's my brother, that's my sister. So excited to see them being changed, being in the glorified body, changed, being part of the army of the Lord. My Lord. Hallelujah. Do you ever thought when you came here, or when the Lord led you here, because it was the Lord, it was not always a part of that convinced you to come here, is that God had chosen you, elected you, and brought us together. But that you ever thought God had you for his plan. My brother and sister, that God has an eternal plan with your life, and he will plan to prepare you and then bring you to heaven for you to be with him, even being part of his army. Some of you didn't even think about this. Didn't even went through your mind. But when Jesus came to me in 2010, 2011, he told me about this, that he will have me on the program where he will use me to prepare people to come home and be with him, my brother and sister. Okay? Hey, you know what the Lord also said to me that I remember clear? There will not be many, my son, but those that I will bring, he says. A lot of people thought we should have had at least 1 million people right now. I'm sure 1 million people have heard about the Lord's hour and the message and all that. But Jesus was very clear with me. There will not be many, but I will bring my chosen one, and I will bring you together. They will listen on this program. I will prepare them. I will use you to prepare them to come home with me. Share with them everything I have told you and revealed to you. He says, yes, Lord. He was standing in the spirit right there in front of me, like my good big brother speaking to me, my Lord, my Savior, my Rabbi, standing there giving me this instruction. He gave me a specific instruction for this program. I even asked, Lord, how is this going to be? And the Lord told me not to worry. You see, when the Lord tells you not to worry, don't worry. No, but, you know, don't worry. I didn't know how he was going to do this. He did it. Yes. The Lord said yes. I just heard. I heard his sweet voice say yes. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my Lord, my God, my Savior. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He's only pleased by obedience. When we obey him, that's when he is pleased. My brothers and sisters, hallelujah. I love to hear his sweet voice. He's only pleased by obedience. When we obey, when we take the step, when he tells us to do something, and we do it in obedience, hallelujah. Pineapple, you know, that's my favorite pizza. Usually when we order pizza, it's pineapple for me, pizza. Brother say, we're going to eat pineapple pizza in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We may eat a pizza once a week, and when we order pizza, it's pineapple. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. No coincidence in God. It's no coincidence. Hallelujah. It's only plan. Verse 9, they have breastplate like iron. The noise from the wind was like the roar of chariots with many horses rushing into battle. Okay, I don't want to keep reading and explaining because it's too much information. I want to go ahead and play the last audio, because these are different audio. You got to hear the different testimony, my brother and sister, because it's confirmation as what God is saying that we've been speaking, my brother and sister. I hope Sister Carla can be on tomorrow. She may not, Okay, so I will play Sunday or even today message tomorrow again. My brother and sister, for those that were not able to listen live here again, my brother and sister, I'll be back, God willing. If the trumpet has not sound, I will be back Sunday, my brother and sister. Sunday, we'll be back again, God willing, and we'll share anything that the Lord wants us to say. He's been speaking a lot to me in the last past few days, a lot. The Lord's been speaking to me very clear. Praise you, Lord. I thank him for that because it helps us so much to understand. I know he was speaking to me this morning in the Great Tribulation of the meteor, that are the pieces of meteor that are going to hit the earth. Pieces. He showed me pieces. And by it, our city completely destroyed. They were large. I mean, large, like large mountain. When I looked at them the first time this morning, I immediately to me came, they are large, like the large mountain we have on this earth. We truly have a lot of large mountain. And these pieces of meteor I saw that fell on the earth were like large mountain. My brother and my sister.
Hey, here everyone. Thank you, welcome, Lord, to Heaven Awaits. If this is your first time checking this channel out, I'm glad to have you here. My name is Lee, and I narrate near-death experiences of those who have died and have seen the other side. My videos are meant to bring hope to a sometimes hopeless world and to show that there is indeed life after death. If you enjoy these videos, please consider hitting those like, subscribe, and bell icons to be notified of new content. Doing so is free, and it does help the channel grow. To my return viewers, welcome back. You know the drill. Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee or tea, and enjoy today's narration. Today's experience was emailed to me by Richard Thompson. He states that after a car accident in 1991, he spends time in hell, and when he calls out to God, he is forgiven and brought before the throne. It is here that God shows him his life, and then gives him a hint of when rapture will happen. Hi Lee, you are probably going to think that I am crazy for reaching out to you about this. After listening to Julie's story, I felt that I needed to tell mine. First, Julie is incorrect with her vision. The world does not make it to the 2070s. I am unsure of who showed her the future that she saw, but it is false. You will see that it is false in the next few years, when her visions don't come true. I suppose that I am reaching out to attempt to save you and the rest of those listening to the pain and grief that is going to come when the rapture takes place. My name is Richard T., and you have my absolute permission to share my name and this experience with your listeners. I was born in 1947 to extremely religious parents. Think Harold Camping religious, but magnified by 10. It seemed like every other week we were headed for the bomb shelter because Mom and Dad were sure that this time we were doomed. I cannot begin to tell you how many times this happened throughout my life. When I was 3, the Korean War broke out, and of course, my parents, ever the worry warts, immediately began prepping the bunker for the Koreans to drop their atomic bombs on us. Yes, they heard a few buzzwords and immediately thought that all countries had atomic bombs, not realizing that only the USA and Soviets had them at that time. By the time the Korean War ended, we were heading to the bunker at least 3 times a month. This happened when the Vietnam War started in 1955 as well. It would be another 10 years before the U.S. would join the war. In 1957, the Soviets put Sputnik into space. My parents, being the well-intentioned, ignorant people that they were, just knew that the Soviets were up there, looking down on them in nowhere, USA, just plotting to drop an atomic bomb on us. So off we went to the bomb shelter yet again. In 1965, America joined the Vietnam War, and 2 months after I graduated high school, because I had no chance to go to college, I was drafted. I'm not going to bore you with the specifics of the training that I received in the Marine Corps, nor will I tell you that I wasn't scared out of my mind. All I knew is that I was 18 and going to war. As my drill instructor loved to tell us, put your faith in God. Your behind belongs to me. 8 weeks of absolute hell to get ready to be dropped into a country that was halfway around the world. I made it out of Vietnam relatively unharmed, except for a case of jungle rot. Nothing much happened. I was one of the lucky ones that made it through three tours of that awful place. In 1969, I fulfilled my duty and left the Marine Corps. You may be wondering why I am telling you about Vietnam. Well, Vietnam caused me to lose my faith in both mankind and God. After seeing the horrors that I saw, I just couldn't force myself to believe in God any longer. My parents were still the same no-nonsense Christians, and they couldn't understand why I was the way I was. The issue of my lack of faith caused a huge strain between myself and my parents, one that would last for the next 22 years. In 1991, I was headed home from a meeting with a business partner at 9:30 in the evening, when I fell asleep at the wheel and crashed headfirst into a tree. I wasn't wearing a seatbelt, so when I hit the tree, my body slammed into the windshield, which caused me to crack my skull. Since it was so late at night, and the area that I was in wasn't known for having a lot of traffic, I lay there bleeding. I could feel as my body began to shut down, me thinking to myself, oh, so this is what it's like to die. I felt my breathing slow, and then nothing. I was in a complete state of nothingness. I could hear something scratching and clawing in the darkness, but could not see what it was. As my eyes started to adjust to the darkness, I began to see what was making the sounds in the dark. There are no words to describe these things, their skin rotting off, bones showing. Teeth that were so sharp that it looked like they could pick a body clean in a matter of seconds. It was then that whatever these things were noticed me and started to chase me. All I could hear was the soggy sound of death coming for me. Help me, God. Please help me. I whispered as I continued to run away, slowly gaining the courage to say it louder and louder before finally screaming, God, save me, I need you. The force of the wind that I felt was like taking a bullet train. I felt something grab my hand and pull me at the speed of light and away from the gnawing, gnashing sound of death. I felt love and comfort in whatever had grabbed my hand. Though we were still in darkness, I could barely make out an outline of this thing. We finally made it to the light, and I was able to see what had grabbed me. An angel about 10 feet in height had grabbed me and pulled me into the light. Who are you? I asked. I am Piratchiel, a booming voice said within my head. I remembered that my parents had spoken of Piratchiel multiple times while growing up. Apparently, this angel was the head archangel in control of all guardian angels. Where was I before you saved me? And where am I now? I asked. Piratchiel's booming voice stated that I had been in hell, but when I called out to God for help, the Most High sent him to bring me to heaven. I looked intently at Piratchiel and noticed that he was staring to his left. Finally, he said, the Most High wishes to see you. He has something he wants to show you. As he finished saying this, he took my hand again, and off we went. In what seemed like a nanosecond, I was at the opening of a huge throne room. The doors opened, and I was told to enter. The first thing that I noticed when I entered the throne room was the singing. It was a melody that I had never heard, but the beauty of it touched the deepest parts of my soul. The second thing that I noticed was the columns. They had a Roman architectural feel to them. Lastly, as I made my way closer and closer to the throne, I noticed the brightest light that I had ever seen. A light so bright that eventually, I could no longer step forward as my soul could not handle the light. Avert your eyes, Richard, for you are unclean and your soul cannot handle my brilliance, his voice said. I did as he told me to and turned away from him. Why did you save me, Lord? Because you called out to me. But I stopped believing in you many years ago and you still saved me. I saved you because you called out to me. Just because you say that you stopped believing in me does not mean that you truly did. So what now? I assume that since I am seeing you, Lord, it must mean that I am either crazy or I am dead, and since I know I'm not crazy, it has to be that I am dead. You are correct. As soon as I heard that, my life immediately began playing before my eyes. I saw every deed that I had done, and all of it played out before me. I saw myself being born, growing up in what I thought was a crazy family, and constantly going to the bunker. What I had forgotten was how much fun my dad had made it. I remember seeing myself relive Vietnam, all of the hurt that I caused by killing those that were trying to kill me. I relived the hurt of losing my friends over those three tours. I relived the last words that I said to my parents about not believing in a God that allows such evil to occur. I saw my dad's heartbreak as I slammed the door leading to me leaving and never returning. I saw as my mom and dad waited up day after day, week after week, and month after month, hoping that I would come home before finally giving up. I saw the stress that my mom went through when she tried to take care of my dad after his heart attack, which led to her stroke. "That's enough," I muttered. "I don't need to see how bad of a son I have been to know I am a horrible person. Perhaps I deserved hell." God chuckled, and I heard his voice say, "No, look again." I looked again as my life flashed by, and I saw how proud my parents were and how they kept me in their prayers even after I quit believing. They prayed that one day I would come to my senses. "It's too late now. I'm dead. There's not much that I can do to change that." I heard a booming voice state, "You're wrong. Who is it that created the heavens and the earth? Who is it that created the birds of the air and the beasts of the ground? Who is it that created man?" I answered, "You did, Lord." There was then another question. "Do you wish to return or do you wish to stay?" Taken aback by this question, I had another one of my own. "If I return, will I be raptured when it comes?" "That depends on how you act between now and that time." "What do you mean?" "Does that mean that rapture will happen during my lifetime?" "Yes," the voice said. "Will you tell me when? It's not like anyone is going to believe me anyway." God replied, "You will have those that believe your words, but also those that do not. You will be as old as your father is now, and 20 years after, the rapture will occur. You will return now, tell everyone, or tell no one. That is your choice." I awoke to the sound of sirens. I was laying on my back and had a paramedic standing over me, doing CPR. "He's awake. Get move on. We have to get this guy to the hospital now," the EMT screamed. "Don't worry, Mr. Thompson. Everything will be fine. You gave us quite the scare. Luckily for you, someone saw you go off the road," she said. After a long recovery period in the hospital, I was finally released to head home. I had no idea what was going on, and my head was foggy. The words, "You will be your father's age in 20 years," kept popping into my head. What could this mean? What in the world happened to me? It had been explained that I was in a car wreck, and the person driving behind me saw me go off-road and hit the tree. They had to haul their tail 4 miles up the road to call for an ambulance. The doctors told me that I was a real living miracle. The gash in my head caused me to lose almost 70% of the blood in my body. To hear them tell it, "There's no way you should have survived that." As the days turned into weeks and the weeks into months, I was finally able to figure out the riddle that kept repeating in my head. "Your father's age and 20 years." As soon as I figured out that riddle, everything came flooding back. The accident, my time spent in hell, being saved by the angel, being given the prophetic vision of when rapture was going to happen. I have talked about this multiple times in online groups and other places such as the NDE Usenet, but usually people end up laughing it off. I am hoping that you and your listeners don't just laugh it off. My dad was 71 when I died in 1991. In 2018, I turned my father's age, the ripe young age of 71. Adding 20 years to that, the rapture will happen in 2038. I will be 91 years old when the rapture occurs. I beg everyone, please heed these words. It is not too late to change and accept Christ. Once the rapture happens, tribulation will begin. You have been warned. That does it for Richard's story. Truthfully, I am not sure what to make of this experience. I have heard a lot of predictions based on the rapture occurring, but have never seen someone say that they got a riddle from God. The last time I paid attention to it was when I heard Harold Camping say it was going to happen in 2012 because he cracked the code in the Bible. So when it didn't happen, I sort of wrote it off until I got this email. Do you guys believe what Richard is saying? Do you believe that he was shown the rapture? Do you think that it was a trick by Satan? Let me know what you think in the comments section below.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Welcome to the God Pillar 7 End Time Prophecy Channel. Excuse me. I'm Sister Barbara. I'm here with the prophecy of God first thing this morning. Today is August 28th, 2022. Today is my mom's 84th birthday. Praise God that she made it after all the things going on. Excuse me. Join me in the King James Version Bible. I'm going to be in the book of Ezekiel. Chapter 1, let's start on 16. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a barrel. And they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went, here's the Holy Spirit, when they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. Okay, that's as far as I'm going on that, the Holy Spirit already. Okay, now this one is way out there. Okay, so August 28th, first thing in the morning, it's in my phone. Daughter, speak of the coming danger. Man has been sending messages into space for decades in an effort to find others like himself or other life forms. The others have heard man's call. Soon, the star men will arrive. Man is not prepared for their return. These are perilous times. You will see amazing sights of the Holy Spirit all over me. You will see amazing sights in the sky, sun, moon, and stars. Many will perish, hearts will fail. Know I love you, and I will protect my children. Humble yourself before me and repent. How shocking is that? So, I never heard of Starman. All I recall is, I think from like the 1970s, there was a movie called like Starman or something. So if you're my age, you might remember that. I heard the Lord say, before I got the prophecy, the Starmen are returning. The Starmen are returning. Returning from where? That was the question. Now, we all know in the history, I think the Native Americans, I Googled that, I looked all over for Starmen. They actually have pictures drawn in caves of things that are supposedly Starmen. I mean, this is shocking to me. You better have your house in order. You better have your heart prepared for Jesus Christ. Let's look at this again. I'm still shocked with this. Okay, yes, and this, I thought of this exactly. Man has been sending messages into space for decades. Now, I thought, I don't know if I'm correct or not. I could have swore I saw something on there saying that they're hearing some beeping or something in the galaxy. I'm not really sure what it is. Or they picked something up. I don't know. I don't usually follow anything like this. But this made my hair stand up. Okay, there it is. Soon the star men will arrive. Man is not prepared for their return. Makes me wonder, and I have to be careful how I put things here, makes me wonder what NASA knows. This is the first prophecy I ever got like this. So I would recommend, first of all, get a Bible and read it. Join a Bible study if you don't know what's going on. Have an emergency plan. What does he say here? There'll be signs in the sky, sun, moon, and stars. Now, I think I saw some stuff going on with planets or something. But many will perish, hearts will fail. This is why you have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You have to know him. I can't even imagine what's going to go down here. So let's just pray that we are accounted worthy to escape the wrath to come. Now, I did see, I have another prophecy to the effect that they learned how to do, I wanted to call it a hologram, and put it up in the sky so it looks like there's something up there when really it's just like a laser shooting a picture up. I don't know. Here's me. I'm like speechless on this. I don't know what to think with this. So tell me your thoughts. What do you think? If you guys, any of you get have gifted prophecy and have prophecies, if anyone has anything like this, please send it, put it under there. God is so awesome. Like I said before, he always lets his servants and his people know what's going to happen before it comes. And he said in here that people, man is not prepared for this. Man is not prepared for their return. There's not really anything we can do about it except to know Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. So that's my advice. Get baptized. Repent and be baptized, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You can read that in the book of Acts 2:38. Does he say repent in here? I think he does. No, I love you, yes. I will protect my children. Humble yourself before me and repent. That's in every single prophecy, I think. You need to do this. Have an emergency plan in your home. I said this before, have some spare cash, some extra food. Have an escape route. I'll put that, an escape plan or route out of your town. You don't know what's going to hit. Between the weather things going on, this stuff, and I think I have other prophecy about fallen angels. What else did I have? Something about fallen angels. If I could find them, I'm pretty sure I have two other prophecies in the effect of fallen angels, but I don't know if fallen angels, I'm sorry, are starmen or what these starmen or star people are. I don't know. I didn't look at it long enough to come to any decision on what I thought they would be. I don't know. You have to trust in Jesus Christ. That's pretty much the main thing. So let's do the prayer of Jabez before I forget what I'm doing. God the Father in heaven, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, bless me indeed. Expand my territory. Keep evil and the devil away from me and my family. Let your hand be with me always, and please don't ever let me cause anyone harm or pain. Lord, please pour out a blessing on all of your children. A spiritual blessing, those waiting for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. A health blessing, those that are sickly and having illness and cancer and so on. Pour out a blessing on their family, a blessing on their marriage, a blessing on their children. Pour out a blessing on their job that they have, one they're able to provide for their family. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Now, thank you guys for all of your prayers for Brother Dan. He might be getting a break here. He's gone to the natural doctor, and they kind of, this man, I think this is the smartest person he's seen so far. They kind of have an idea of what's going on, and right now he's doing, I'll call it a test to see how things are going to go. And he's feeling just a hair better. Keep me in your prayers. I had a major, I'll call it, beatdown a few days ago. I had a bad panic attack. In the marble bathroom. Fell down, of course, got injured. I'm all beat up, black and blue marks. Looks like somebody was choking me. And then the neighbor heard me calling, of course, or yelling or something. And then the fireman came in and got me. How's that for a beatdown? And I didn't even know I was getting this prophecy. So keep us in your prayers. Let's see, who else still need prayers? My mom, of course, in the nursing home. Timothy, please leave a message. Let me know you're okay. Jean, Michael, Patty. Okay, there's a whole bunch of people. I can't remember everyone offhand. Now, as far as YouTube goes, please subscribe if you're brand new just visiting and hit the notification button so you know what's going on. Facebook, I still can't post on my own page, Sister Barbara. I can't post on that or share anything. So you can like and follow on the God Killer 7 Facebook End Time Prophecy Facebook page. I'll try to put that link under there. Now, I'm so far behind with everything between everybody being sick and me getting beat down. Constantly for putting these messages up. The devil knows his time is short. That's why it's not just me. I saw it under my prayer request. He's beating everyone down, trying to stop us from speaking the word of God. That's what it is. I'll get going here before I forget what I'm doing. All right, so have a blessed and safe day. We love you guys. Hopefully nothing major will go on. I had a horrible time trying to start the video here. I mean, this panic disorder, I can't believe this. Come on, Barb, you can do it. All right, I did. God bless you all. Be safe. Love you guys.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining me once again today on my YouTube channel. Today is August the 25th of 2022. I'd like to share another prophetic word with you that the Lord has given me that I hope will be a blessing to you on this day. This word today is a follow-up on the word given out on August the 23rd. Once again, the Lord is speaking of his victorious church. So for those of us who may be wondering what the condition of the church is in, the Lord is letting us know that the church is not defeated, that his intention has always been to raise up his church. And so, in these days, the message is not one about doom and gloom for those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, but about victory and advancement in moving into the position the Lord has ordained for his church to function in, which is a position of rulership, that we would reign and rule with him in the earth. And so I hope this word today will be an encouragement to those who may have been struggling regarding the future of the Church of Jesus Christ. This word today is titled, The Rising of the Church. I'll begin by reading scripture. Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 3. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. This scripture reference paints a picture of what the last day church will look like. It will be glorious. The Lord's glory will descend upon the church of Jesus Christ and will radiate to draw kings, those in authority, to its brightness. Malachi 4, verses 2 and 3. For you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, and you will tread down the wicked, for they shall be as ashes under the soles of your feet on the day which I am preparing, says the Lord of hosts. This scripture too speaks of the great authority and influence the Church of Jesus Christ will have in the end times. The church will be healed and will rise up to tread upon the wicked. I'll begin reading this word. Invest in things above and avoid traps set by men, says the Lord. Do not heed the advice of the ungodly, but set your sights on high. I am moving amongst my people in this day, bringing them in line with my heart for the nations. I will bless those who honor my name. I will provide for their every need. They will not go hungry, and they will not be in want. The goal is in sight, and the prize is to be won by all who revere my name. Great blessing is about to be released unto those who have faithfully followed me. Their household shall be blessed, and their barns shall be full. for a great harvest shall be brought in, and the house of the Lord shall be full. I am waiting for the hearts of my people to burn with passion for the lost. When this has been accomplished, when my people have been brought into submission to my will, their light shall break forth, and their healing shall come quickly. All the riches in the world cannot compare to the beauty and the splendor that will be theirs, says the Lord. Kings and princes will be drawn to them, seeking to know the source of their fulfillment and joy. This is a day like no other. Every cry from the heart of my people shall be heard by the Heavenly Father. I will minister life into every part of their being, and they shall be raised up into the abundant life of the Son. Glory and honor shall be theirs, for they shall be great in the land. Their influence shall reach far and wide. Their authority to tread upon the serpent's head shall be great, and no evil thing will be able to touch them. They shall march in and take the land, and it shall be theirs. Those living in the land will be under their feet, and they shall rule over the people with great authority. My people shall be called a holy nation, a royal priesthood, says the Lord. Prepare for war, my people. Be ready for the greatest battle of all time. The trumpet has sounded. The gates of the enemy have come down. So go in and take the land. Possess it and begin to rule in the authority that has been given to you through the finished work of Christ. His blood shed has gained access to the land. It has delivered you from death and brought you into life, and you shall enter into the land of the living. Possess it and rule with the power and authority that is yours in his name. Every high and lofty thing shall come down, for you shall go forth wielding the sword with great strength and dexterity to cut down everything that exalts itself above the knowledge of the Lord. With great accuracy you shall hit on the enemy's arsenal of deceptions to destroy every one of them. Speak the word, and it shall be done, for my word shall go forth to pull down every high and lofty thing, says the Lord. My people are coming out of hiding. No longer will they be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but they shall be brought into the truth and into unity in my spirit. No longer will they be divided by teachings of men, but they shall be united in love for the Lord and one another. They shall walk in humility of spirit, esteeming others greater than themselves. This is the day of release for the captives. Those held captive to the lure of the enemy will come to see the error of their way. They will recognize the enemy's tactic to divide and conquer and understand how division in the body weakens it and brings defeat to the church of Christ. When they see this, they will fall in repentance at my feet, says the Lord. They will seek to be forgiven and healed and brought into the perfect will of God, and I will hear and answer and change their hearts. I will give them love for one another. I will show them how to fit into the body, to find their place, and how to function in the part they have been called to. There will be no more jealousy and spite toward one another. These will be removed, and the body shall function as a unit, and the Spirit of Christ shall flow through her, giving life to every part and causing the whole body to move with great strength and agility as it comes into health, no longer crippled and dysfunctional, but functioning in perfect harmony. The world will look on and marvel, and the Church of Christ shall be recognized as a people blessed of God, a force in the earth to be reckoned with. No longer will they point the finger and mock the servants of the Lord, but they will stand in awe at the impact the Church of Christ has in their homes, their communities, and their country. Their eyes will be opened to see the light and life of Christ radiating through the body of Christ, and they shall be drawn to their knees in repentance. Make known the goodness of God to the peoples. Proclaim that Jesus is Lord in all the earth. Declare the sound of his coming. Raise up the banner of his love. Joy will be yours as you join in to celebrate the glory of the risen Lord. Great shall be the rejoicing of those who hail the King as he comes into his temple in this day. I am pulling down every barrier, says the Lord, every roadblock. The way of the Lord is being made ready. Hail to the King. Hail to the King of Kings. Rejoice, for your King is coming, and your reward is with him. From this word today, we can see that the Lord's intention is to bless his church, to raise it up, to honor it, to put it in a position of great influence in the world. He is commissioning his church to go in and take the land, to possess it, and to rule over it. The Lord intends to heal his church, to bring it into unity, that it would no longer be crippled and dysfunctional, removing jealousy and ill feelings toward one another. The Lord is raising up his church for all the world to see. And so this is a day to rejoice. It is not a day of doom and gloom for the Church of Jesus Christ, but is a day of gladness and joy. I hope this word today will encourage you and bless you and give you hope that there is true victory in Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening today. Have a great afternoon, and we'll talk to you again the next time. Bye for now. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining me once again on my YouTube channel today. Today is August the 29th of 2022. I'd like to share another word with you from the Lord that I know will encourage you. For those of you who are new to this channel, please take a minute to subscribe and to click the notification bell for more videos as they are released. For those of you who are Christians, you know that the Lord's intention is to release his abundance of goodness upon his people, that he has given us gifts and callings and wants us to use these to bear fruit for his kingdom. The Bible tells us that we are the head and not the tail, that we are the ones who should have great influence in the world we live in, and so we ought to be functioning in the fullness of these giftings to be a blessing to those around us. This word today will encourage you that the Lord is increasing his giftings within his people in this day, and he is releasing an abundance of good things to us, and he is releasing his Spirit in great measure, that the fruit we bear using these gifts are spiritual fruit for his kingdom. And so I hope you are blessed today as you hear this word. This word is titled, The Day of Release. I'll begin by reading scripture. John 15, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. This short verse of scripture is packed with encouragement. It tells us that God chose us and appointed us for the purpose of bearing good fruit for his kingdom. And it tells us that whatever we ask of the Lord, it will be given to us. James 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. This scripture informs us that the giftings that we have are given of God, and that he does not change his mind about the giftings he has given us. Esther 5, verse 3. And when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court, she won favor in his sight, and he held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther approached and touched the tip of the scepter, and the king said to her, "What is it, Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be given you, even to the half of my kingdom." This scripture reference gives an account of Queen Esther as she entered the court of her king. It was the law in that day that if someone approached the king and the king did not extend his scepter to that person, they would be taken away. However, this scripture tells us that the king found favor with Esther, and he extended his royal scepter to her, and along with that, accepted her request. This scripture reference encourages us that our King Jesus accepts us as we come into his courts to bring our requests before him. I'll begin reading this word. Hear the word of the Lord. Incline your ear to hear my voice, for I desire to speak to you, to reveal my heart to you, says the Lord. You are on course, and I am leading you in the direction you must go. Everything that has been stolen out of your life is being restored. My desire is that you move onward in the power and authority of my Spirit. Everything you need is in me. I am your fulfillment. As you move in me, you accomplish my will for your life. Look up, for your redemption is drawing near. You are entering into the fullness of my Spirit, for a full measure of my Spirit is about to be released into you. As you flow in my Spirit, you will marvel at the ease at which you take ground back from the enemy of your life. I am raising up a witness to the people of the resurrection power of Jesus. I am putting my beloved on display, and I will uphold you with my strong right arm. Much fruit will be produced in you, and the harvest shall be great. I am establishing you upon an immovable rock, and you shall stand the test of time, for you shall face the wind of my spirit and be purified. You shall set your face as flint, and nothing will be able to stop or hinder the work I accomplish through the clean vessels I am making you into. You are mine, says the Lord. I have chosen you to go forth and bear fruit for the kingdom of God. My seal is upon you, my spirit is within you, and I am beside you. This is the day of your release. Go forth in the joy of the Lord, for the joy of the Lord within you is your strength. It will rise up and burst forth to carry you wherever I take you. I am making the way clear for you to be released by those around you. They will bless you and bless the work of my spirit through you in this hour, says the Lord. Get ready for the greatest outpouring of my spirit you have seen. I am about to pour myself out in unprecedented measure into clean vessels I have prepared for myself. These shall be filled to overflowing, and my spirit shall flow forth from them. Make every effort to enter the holy place, into the presence of the Lord, to receive the gift of life from the life giver. Come before the Lord with praise and thanksgiving, and he will extend his royal scepter to you, for you shall be pleasing in his sight. And as he extends himself to you, you will go from his courts lacking nothing. For in this day the Father is lavishing upon his people every gift and every blessing in his storehouse. He will withhold nothing from those who seek him wholeheartedly, but will freely pour out an abundance upon those who ask. So come into the presence of the Lord with joy, for the Father's heart is to bless and equip you to fulfill the call upon your life. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door will be opened. The way will be made clear for the army of the Lord to go forth to storm the gates of hell. Power and authority to tread upon the head of scorpions and to crush the accuser beneath your feet is being released in this day. Receive that which is being held out to you, just as the scepter was held out to Queen Esther by her king as she found favor in his sight and her request was granted. The scepter is being held out to you, for you have found favor in the sight of your king. So ask, do not hesitate, but ask what you will, and your request shall be granted, says the Lord. Boldly come before your king, for he longs for his people to enter into his chamber to receive all that is available to them. Go into all the earth and make disciples of all nations. I am calling you to give out to others what I have given you. I am opening the door, and soon you shall walk through into the work I have ordained for you. I am giving you the desires of your heart, opening the doors of ministry available to you. I am releasing more creativity, more artistic giftings into you, and these will be expressed through colorful means. Rejoice in your King, for he has heard your cry, and he will grant you everything that you ask. Do not fear or be intimidated by those who would try to hold you back, for I am releasing you, and you shall go forth to accomplish great feats for your God. My anointing shall be upon everything you put your hands to, and it will spring to life and bear fruit for the kingdom of God. I am lifting the curse, cutting the reins that have held you back, and loosing the enemy's hold over you. Nothing will hinder you, but you will walk into one ministry after the other with the power and anointing of God in everything you do. You have been willing to lay your life down, to say no to the world, and have walked freely and boldly into my courts before me. Because your heart is pure, your hands are clean, and your motives are undefiled. I will honor you with great wealth and prosperity in the things of the Lord, and you shall reign and rule over much, commanding the respect of those around you, for they shall see that the giftings and abilities in which you function have been given to you of the Father. Continue to seek me for direction, says the Lord. Continue to listen for my instructions from hour to hour, for I am moving you out in many directions, and you will need to hear my voice clearly to stay in the flow of what I am doing. Fine-tune your ears to hear and obey immediately. For a variety of giftings are about to be put into use, and you will be busy to keep up with the flow pouring forth. This word today encourages us that our Heavenly Father is not a stingy Father. He wants to release everything to us that is available. He wants to restore our lives and bring them into fulfillment, to establish us in Him so deeply that we produce much fruit for His kingdom. The Lord will withhold nothing from those who come to Him as clean, willing vessels to be put to use by Him in this day. And just as Queen Esther received her king's favor, we as God's people receive his favor. Our Heavenly Father is the giver of good gifts to men, and in this day he is pouring out his Spirit in an unprecedented manner that we may flow in him as we function in the giftings, that our fruit will be spiritual fruit, that it will be good fruit, and that we will produce much fruit for his kingdom. This is the day of the release of his Spirit and the release of his people into his fullness. Let's all come boldly before him, into his courts with thanksgiving and praise, and make our requests known to him, because he wants to release an abundance of goodness upon our lives. I hope this word today will encourage you and inspire you and excite you that greater giftings are being released, more creativity and more opportunity given. Thank you for listening today. Have a great afternoon, and we'll talk to you again the next time. Bye for now.
So we are approaching some Jewish feast days that are important. So I want to give you a little background about Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Hashanah literally means head of the year in Hebrew, and it is the beginning of the Jewish New Year. It is the first of the high holidays in it, or days of awe, and it ends 10 days later with Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. Now, Rosh Hashanah begins with the sounding of the shofar, which is an instrument made of the ram's horn, and they are proclaiming that God is King of the universe. The sound of the shofar is also a call to repentance. It's like a wake-up call to re-examine ourselves and our commitment to God, and then to correct our ways. So, September 26, 2022, on our calendar is Rosh Hashanah, and on the Jewish calendar, it is the first of Tishra. So it is their new year, which begins the Jewish new year of 5783. So September 26th, 2022 begins the Jewish year of 5783. So why is this important to know? Because the Lord has showed me some things that are lining up for this date, and how this date connects with the United States of America. So I want you to carefully follow along what the Lord has shown me and what the revelations that He's given me. So first, the Holy Spirit told me to add up the individual numbers of the date 9/26/2022. So I took these numbers, 9 plus 2 plus 6 plus 2 plus 0 plus 2 plus 2, and it equaled 23. Then Holy Spirit told me to add up the individual numbers of the new Jewish New Year that happens on that day, and the year is 5783. So I added up 5 plus 7 plus 8 plus 3. It also equals 23. So then I was prompted to go to my numbers dictionary. And I just love how the Lord, how He ties it all together and works it all out. So in the numbers dictionary, the number 23 symbolizes a call to preach the gospel, where you will receive supernatural power for the preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. Then the Holy Spirit also prompted me to look up scriptures that were the reverse number of 9/26. So in other words, I was looking up scriptures that were in chapter 26, verse 9. Now, when Holy Spirit began to lead me to these scriptures, I was just like really amazed at how they tied together and how they really paint a picture of what is really happening right now at this season and at this time. So, what I want to say before I read the scriptures is that the Lord is ready to reverse things, and He's about to abundantly bless His children with a new beginning. So the first scripture that the Holy Spirit took me to was Jeremiah 26:9. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. So we see right now, in this season and in this time, there's great persecution that is happening against very specifically the prophets, because the prophets are speaking the word of the Lord. And very soon, there's going to be a reversal of the persecution of the true prophets of the Lord. Now, the persecution is coming from two different areas. It's coming from the religious church, and it's also coming from the elite who are trying to establish this one world order. So even right now, there is a particular prophet, I'm not going to name his name, who his life is being threatened, and he has been in undisclosed locations for his safety. And that persecution is soon going to end, because the Lord is going to elevate the prophets. The next scripture that Holy Spirit showed me and took me to was Ezekiel 26:9. And this particular scripture, when I read it, I got really excited, and I'll explain why. It says, "He will direct his battering rams against your walls, and with his axes he will break down your towers." Now, the reason I got so excited about hearing that scripture or seeing that scripture was that Tim Sheets spoke of a dream that he had. And in his dream, it was the 4th of July of 2022. And he was in Lafayette Park, right across from the White House. And by the way, this is the same park where a lightning strike hit and killed a few people. And that just happened recently. So in his dreams, Tim Sheets saw an angel of the Lord carrying a 12-foot log. The angel told him that he was an angel of the Lord and that the log was a battering ram to ram the White House to remove the satanic hold over the White House. And this angel also said that there were four of these battering ram angels awaiting for the command to proceed. So very soon, all I can say is very soon, there's going to be a reversal at the White House. The next scripture that Holy Spirit took me to was Isaiah 26:9. And it says, "With my soul I have desired you in the night. Yes, by my spirit within me I will seek you early. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness." So in this scripture, we see that the remnant are seeking the Lord and crying out in prayer. And when the judgments of the Lord fall upon the wicked, then people will learn righteousness, because they're going to see the wicked being removed by plagues and by pestilence and by famine. And so as the wicked are judged, righteousness will flow through the United States of America. Hallelujah. Okay, so the next three scriptures that Holy Spirit gave me pertain specifically to the remnant. And remember, it's still that chapter 26, verse 9 scriptures. So God is reversing things for his remnant, and he is giving us a place, or is taking us to a place of great blessings. So Deuteronomy 26:9 says, "He has brought us to this place, and he has given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey." So the Lord is giving land to his children as a blessing. And for some, he is restoring land that has been taken from you. And he is also returning the freedoms to our lands that have been stripped by the enemy. And I'm talking about not just the U.S., but across the world. He is returning freedoms that have been stripped from our lands. Amen. The next scripture that Holy Spirit gave me was Leviticus 26:9. He says, "For I will look on you favorably and make you fruitful, multiply you, and confirm my covenant with you." So the Lord is showing his children great favor and causing us to be fruitful, so that everything that we place our hand to will multiply, will prosper. He is confirming his blood covenant with his children, so that when the plagues and the pestilence and the famine hits, it will not come near us because of the blood covenant. We will be like the children in Goshen when the plagues hit Egypt, and the plagues hit them and it did not hit the Israelites. And the third scripture that he gave to me was Job 26:9, and it says, "He covers the face of his throne and spreads his clouds over it." And the Holy Spirit showed me that this is the cloud of the Lord's glory that is imminent. Amen. So now I want to share with you what the Lord spoke to me. And this is what he said. September 26th is the beginning of the new year on the Hebrew calendar. It is the first of Tishrei. It is also the new beginning for the United States of America. Because The USA has been so connected to Israel, I have chosen their new year to be the USA's new beginning. This new beginning will usher in governmental changes from the presidency to the Congress to the Senate and to the governors. Many have prophesied of these events, and this is the season for them to happen, says the Lord. And then the Lord said something that kind of took me off guard. He said, look up what September means. And so when I looked up what September means, I was just blown away. So September comes from a Latin word, septum, which means seven. In the ancient Roman calendar, September was the seventh month until they added January and February. So, keeping in mind that September means seven, Rosh Hashanah falls in September on our calendar. On the Hebrews' religious calendar, Rosh Hashanah begins on the seventh month. So, Tishra on the religious Hebrew calendar is the seventh month. So, we see Rosh Hashanah has a double seven associated with it. And then the Lord spoke these words to me. He said, now you are seeing how these dates are connecting for my purposes. September means seven, and Rosh Hashanah occurs on the seventh month of the Hebrew religious calendar. And he said, you also saw that the numbers of the date of the Jewish New Year that falls on September 26, 2022 on the Gregorian calendar adds to 23, and the new Hebrew year, which begins 5783, also adds to 23. And then he said this, child, nothing will stop what I have planned for this date. Just remember, it is a new beginning for the United States of America and the world. Hallelujah. So that is the word of the Lord regarding Rosh Hashanah and the U.S. And I'm also posting another video on my platform from a minister who received a word from the Lord also regarding Rosh Hashanah. His name is Tom Painter and his wife Margaret. They preached the gospel with mighty deliverances and mighty healings occurring. And so be looking for that video right after this one. So may the Lord bless you. May his glorious face shine upon you on this month of September and during Rosh Hashanah. Hallelujah.
Hello, my name is Tom Painter, a minister of the gospel with a healing and deliverance ministry. I come before you today because I have a message that the Lord has put on my heart very strongly. It's for all his people and all of the people who are neglecting to seek him. So what he showed me was about a little over 2 weeks ago, and he said that Rosh Hashanah is coming, the festival of the new year. It comes on September 26th. He said, all of my people that I love so dearly, my chosen, my elect, the ones who follow me completely close, I am going to pour a blessing on them for the next year, a blessing that is so abundant, it is nearly immeasurable. That's such a great thing. Amen. But there's more. What he was speaking to me as he revealed it through Jeremiah 29:17, the people who are half in, half out, lukewarm, not on fire for him, there's going to be severe consequences to pay. Plague, famine, curse, war, pestilence. What he showed me was the taste of what we saw in 2019 was mild compared to what's going to come. So I'm going to read you Jeremiah 29:17. It says, this is what the Lord of armies says. I'm about to send sword, famine, and plague against them, and I will make them like rotten figs that are inedible because they are so bad. I will pursue them with sword and famine and plague. I will make them a horror to all kingdoms of the earth, a curse and a desolation, an object of scorn, and a disgrace among all nations, where I have banished them from. I will do this because they have not listened to my words. This is the Lord's declaration. So I come before you, pouring out my heart, that anybody that is lukewarm will hear this message. And what he showed me was, any of his children, any of his elect, he's already put it in their spirit, that when you hear this message, this will be the second time that you've heard it. The first time was from him, through him revealing it to you in your spirit. He said that many will hear this message, many will reject it. I said, Lord, there's many that I love that I know that will reject this message. He said, if they didn't hear it and understand it, I did not give it to them because they were not my chosen. They will have to suffer, and they will know that I am God. So for an entire year, he is going to bless his elect in such abundance that it can't be contained. And each person who speaks with their lips that they love him, but they are far from it in their heart, they will truly know that he is God. And they will see that through the blessings that pour out upon his children who've been faithful followers. And the ones that don't, I just pray now that this message reaches them in their soul, in their spirit, because things are not going to be what everyone expects them to be. Thank you.
I felt led to share. So I was walking down the street, regular, like in my town where I live, and I'm just walking down the street, and I go, and there was people outside, and I feel like a chaos, and I'm like, what's going on? I look to the left, and I see something descending from the sky, and like the first thing I thought, that's a deception, that's gotta be the government, like with the aliens and stuff, doing a deception. But as I go, and it comes closer, I see him, you guys. When I tell you that I see Jesus, I see him, but he's not like what we think he looks like. He came down and he was descending, like it was like in a cloud, but he was on a horse, and he had short hair. He was like my complexion. He had a crown on his head, and he wasn't smiling, you guys. He was not smiling. Look to the right hand side, and I seen in the heavens, I seen the kingdom of heaven. I seen like a city in the cloud. And I hear people saying the Messiah, and I'm like, oh my God, it's Jesus. I'm like, oh my God, it's Jesus, and he came down. So I go and I start running. See, on the right side and the left side, it was these demons coming from the dirt, and they looked like gargoyles, but they were like made out of stone, and they were just grabbing people. I've never experienced anything like this, you guys. And Lord knows I'm humbling myself. God is real. Jesus is real. He's coming. He's coming.